Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is already Thursday, the 19th day of April, 2012. It was 17 years ago today that ATF and FBI bombs tore through the Alfred P. Murrah building in Oklahoma City. Yesterday, for the last time, she says, Jane Graham, who was one of the heads of HUD and the head of the local union there in Oklahoma City, she came on the radio and on the nightly news yesterday and broke down the witnesses, the police that were threatened, the police that were killed because they saw the feds in there planting the bombs and then being there when the bombs went off. Amazing information. And coming up in the second hour, because it is the anniversary of this devastating attack that was used to demonize the state's rights movement, the militia, libertarians, and true conservatives, constitutionalist Ron Paul, myself, I've been demonized with it. Rush Limbaugh, they called for shutting his show down. And again, and even if you love him or hate him, if you can shut him down for somebody else's violence, well, that's the end of freedom, isn't it? So we'll have the director of the amazing film, A Noble Lie, James Lane, joining us, along with Holland Vander Nieuwenhoff, who's a writer, producer, and researcher. That is coming up in the second hour. Then we'll have open phones in the third hour. And we're going to have open phones today. I have an incredible spectrum of news and information, and I am going to attempt to go to your phone calls. And I've been doing a little bit better job, as I've said, but overall failing. So I want to take a lot of calls in this hour. We'll see if we can do it today. First-time callers again, because we've got millions and millions of listeners, over 3 million a day, 15 million one way or another every week. I want to be able to hear from you. You notice when I say first-time callers, almost every caller is like, I've been listening 10, 12 years or 5 years, never been able to get through. And it's amazing to hear from those people. So if you're a first-time listener, on any issue you want to bring up, question, comment, agree with me, disagree, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231, and we will get you up and on the air today. Coming up, weekly jobless claims hit higher level than expected, and that's with cooked numbers. Of course, we're in a depression. It's going to get a lot worse. It's by design unless we get rid of the globalist. Continuing, we're going to get into the attack on Christian churches in this country with the federal government coming in and saying the churches have to pay for abortions. Headline, will Obama find Catholic institutions into oblivion? Also, red alert is one of our top stories. Draconian CISPA bill picking up sponsors ahead of vote next week. It's now got over 100. And it makes SOPA look like child's play and is Homeland Security and the Pentagon ending due process, taking over the web, and publicly admitting they're recording everything. Totally illegal, but the gauntlet is in our face. They're just like, yeah, you live in a tyranny. They've also announced that all cars won't just have black boxes that have been in all cars made in the U.S. since 97, foreign cars since 2001 under agreements. Now they're going to record audio, track you in live time, and you're paying for this piece of expensive high tech when you purchase the automobile. There's got to be an antitrust suit or something involved in that. I mean, where are they? It's like government making you buy health care. They make you buy a piece of equipment made by two companies, and that's a trust right there. That's a monopoly. It's a duopoly. It's an oligopoly combine. And it's the same with the cell phones, the toasters, the smart meters. They make you pay for a surveillance grid that is about 1,000 times, conservatively, worse than 1984. I mean, it's joke level. And it's all being announced. That's coming up. Stay with us.
Big Brother. another. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is April 19th, 2012. On this Thursday edition, I'm Alex Jones, your host, and we are going to be live here for the next 3 hours today. We're also going to have wide open telephones throughout the broadcast for first-time callers yet again, 800-259-9231. Okay, let me just run over some of the top stories here. And then we will start going to your phone calls. And then in the second hour, we're going to have the director and producer of A Noble Lie, Oklahoma City 1995 documentary film that we have available, by the way, at Infowars.com, discounted, that is the only modern professional film with all the data proving that Oklahoma City was a fast and furious operation, a false flag to blame conservatives and libertarians for terrorism and to demonize the state's rights movement that was gaining steam just as it is today. And you have all the Democratic strategist memos that have even been in the Financial Times of London and the Associated Press in the last 2 years where they say to Obama, an Oklahoma City is the only thing that will save you. We need a terror attack that domestic groups carry out so you can shut down your detractors. They come within one micron of saying stage it. They're like, one is coming. It's going to help. When it happens, you've got to seize it. Don't let a good crisis go to waste. I mean, they come so close to it, so close, even Glenn Beck, and then announced a week later he was having to leave Fox over it, came out and said the White House was preparing to stage a new Oklahoma City to be blamed on libertarians and conservatives. So that is coming up. And I interviewed Jane Graham, who was one of the heads of HUD in the building that day on the seventh floor when it blew up. And she had witnessed the feds planting the bomb. She thought they were, she didn't know what the gray sticks of butter were. In the days before, she'd heard the FBI people in the coffee room, in the lounge saying, yeah, they're going to bomb a federal building in the next 2 weeks. She called friends about it. This is amazing. And she's talked to the police officers who were threatened with murder if they spoke out. Some were then killed, like Terrence Yakey, cop of the year. I've interviewed Don Browning, head of the K-9 unit, who was there minutes after he saw the feds and what they were doing. They told him, you and your wife are dead if you speak out. He still didn't shut up. The police chief told other police, and she's documented this, yeah, you better shut up. So see, you see all these parades for dead cops and stuff. That's the system just trying to look good off dead cops, dead heroes. At the end of the day, when they were killing cops and killing witnesses, the other cops said, shut up, in pure cowardice to the other police officers and stood down as they were tortured and killed. So this lady risked her life coming on this broadcast, and she's done interviews over the years. And she just says she's told her story. This is it. You know, she's got ill family and people she's taking care of. She's done. Hoppe Heidelberg, of course, was on a few months ago. He's fighting cancer. He said that may be his last interview. He was one of the grand jurors. Had the FBI come to his house, threatened to kill him. I mean, this is serious. It's dangerous for me to even be talking about this. I've been threatened over it. But we've got to tell the truth here. Of course, you know who the deputy attorney general was. He's the attorney general today. But 17 years ago, he was the deputy attorney general. And lawsuits via lawyer Jesse Trenado and others have gotten the FOIA documents, because a good federal judge has ordered them released, where the feds were running the white supremacist compound with the Southern Poverty Law Center that McVeigh was at, confirming Terry Nichols' affidavit that McVeigh was really a deep cover national security asset who believed he was about to stop and bust the bombing in the process, or that they were going to let it go forward, but then blame groups. But then when McVeigh was told that they were going to blow up a daycare center and let it go forward, he flipped out. So they, I guess, picked him to burn him as a patsy. So we're going to be discussing that coming up in the second hour today. We probably should get Don Browning back on, too, head of the K-9 unit, Sergeant Browning. He balked, though, and I said, say the name of the FBI agents. And you'd see him kind of flush. He went, and then later started saying some names because it's just hard for people. Imagine at the Oklahoma City Police Department in the hall and coming into his office repeatedly saying, you and your wife are going to be dead. Do you understand me? That's who runs America. Imagine walking into a sergeant's office at a police department and saying, you and your wife are dead. And yes, Austin, FBI, I've gotten your message that you're listening and want me to be nice. Nice like Terrence Yakey when the FBI pulled him over and tortured every inch of his body. You mean nice like Cop of the Year getting tortured to death and then shot in the back of the head, and the police department all knew he was murdered but told all the cops shut up? Jane Graham's a witness to that. She can name the police officers that told her that. This is who runs America. Ruthless criminal mafia with badges. And you better grow up and admit that. We're not in Kansas anymore. And I'm not here covering this to be shocking. I don't like sticking my head in a lion's mouth for no reason. I've got to do this. I've got to go into the lion's den because we don't have any future if we don't start saying no to this. I told you 6 years ago, Bush was shipping guns into Mexico to cause that war. Then it continued under Obama, and he shipped even more in and blamed the Second Amendment. Congresswoman Giffords, we've confirmed, was beginning an investigation into it with Judge Roll. You know what happened to them. And I told you that it would be used to blame the Second Amendment. Even though they got caught, they went ahead and used it against the Second Amendment and have called for assault weapon sales bans and manufacturing bans. And CBS even got the memo that indeed they did it to blame the Second Amendment. If you'll ship tens of thousands of guns to drug gangs in Mexico to destabilize the country to blame the Second Amendment, and thousands have been killed. Mexico estimates over 2,000 their side, hundreds on our side, including three federal and three local law enforcement people. That's six. That's conservative. That's a false flag that killed thousands and thousands of people. Who did it? John P. Holdren. These people mean business. He needs something to brainwash you, as he said on C-SPAN. He met with the heads of the media. This was back when he was deputy attorney general. Guys, cue up the brainwashing clip, please. People won't believe it. They're new listeners. And he said, I work with the media to brainwash the public in the schools and through TV. We've got to brainwash. He said, literally brainwash people. They want to win. And they'll ship guns into Mexico and narcotics back in to do it. They'll blow up federal buildings and pick one with a daycare center to get this power. Undoubtedly, the attorney general today was involved in the cover-up. Did he run the operation? I don't know that. We know the ATF was at the very head of it. The point is, he was involved in the cover-up and hence aiding and abetting. And people have been tortured to death to bring you this information. Tortured to death to bring you this information. Let me say it again. Tortured to death to bring you this information. Or you can just give up and say, do whatever you want. Have the TSA on highway checkpoints, abusing everybody. Take everybody's property. Jack up taxes. Bankrupt the country. Bring in the New World Order. Roll over to it. Sell out to it. I mean, the elite better study history. They've created such a giant army of piranha murderers in the corporate and military and police systems of enforcement that they're not going to be controlled. They're going to run their own criminal operations. Things are going to spiral out of control just like Mexico. Mexico now wants to decriminalize. Used to, they wanted to keep it illegal to make the big profits off drugs. Now, they're a failed state collapsing, and so is the rest of Latin America that allows drugs to be illegal. And so they're saying legalize it, even though it'll take the profits out because it's destroyed everything else. Crime and corruption will destroy civilization. Civilization is imploding right now. everywhere. Families are imploding. Common sense is falling apart. Every metric, every measurement, every yardstick, every gauge, every bellwether, every weather vane, every indicator of which way the wind's blowing is total Roman-style collapse accelerated. The elite are all moving out of the country to armored redoubts in the middle of nowhere. You've wrecked everything. You've been so good at evil, so good at pure wickedness. You can't help it, though, because they're all like piranhas in a frenzy competing with each other to rob and steal and using the most vicious high-tech brainwashing, most vicious anti-family system to neutralize and wreck America's basic common sense. They've annihilated the individual's navigation system, the individual's compass, your conscience. They've turned the average person into a gibbering, demonic jellyfish creature. And now we're seeing a country of demonic jellyfish just flailing around in their own excrement. Meanwhile, a large portion of us, a large minority, are awake and are semi-immune, thanks to God's good grace, to this mind control. And we're sitting here watching the horror and the lunacy and the craziness of what's unfolding. Coming up, Senator Rand Paul, concerned Interpol could arrest Americans under foreign laws and extradite us, denounces Obama's continual bypassing of Congress. That text and video's up. Rand Paul leaves door open for VP slot. Amazing breaking news on that front. Give us your take in the comments on that. I want to know your view on that at InfoWars.com. Red Alert, draconian CISPA bill, picking up sponsors ahead of vote next week. Judge recuses herself in the Trayvon Martin case. We've got the jobless weekly data. We've got it all coming up. Police taking DNA without warrants. But first, your call. Bob in Michigan, we're going to you here in just a moment. And then, as I said, I will plunge into all of the amazing news. Blame for bee collapse. Monsanto buys leading bee research firm to shut them up. Meanwhile, the Trayvon Martin case, George Zimmerman trial, judge recuses herself because her husband is a legal analyst on CNN that George Zimmerman had approached about being his lawyer. And for such a little thing like that, she recuses herself because he hadn't become her lawyer. But then meanwhile, almost all of the FDA and EPA regulators, look it up. I mean, the head regulator is a former executive of Monsanto. And the few that aren't are Archer Daniels Midland or other genetic engineering, big pharma slash big agri companies. I mean, talk about conflict of interest. Congress, many members of Congress vote on bills to fund companies they own. Not just that their wives own stock in or their husbands. And they go, well, we're allowed to because we just said we have an exemption. It's like the head of the CIA says, yeah, we're watching you through all your different appliances, smart meters. We're going to control your whole life. The Fourth Amendment doesn't mean what it used to. You can go read the quote. Fourth Amendment doesn't mean what it used to. Because I say so, Jack. And Tenth Amendment, we got the TSA on street corners in plain clothes listening to you and now going into restaurants. And like Forbes is saying, so is the Atlantic. Well, this won't work. I mean, how are you going to find terrorists randomly? It isn't meant to find terrorists. Those guys work for the bankers on record. It's meant to intimidate everybody. And they admit they're listening not for terrorists, but criminals and political speech that could lead to problems. Yeah, that's a free society. Let's just randomly have people on buses and street corners listening to what people say. I mean, that's directly out of every nightmare science fiction novel. Or real places like Cambodia, Communist China, Nazi Germany. I mean, it's here. But that's enough of me. Let's start going to your phone calls. Bob in Michigan, welcome.
Hi, Alex. Yep, this is Bob from Michigan. I appreciate you taking my call and long-time listener, very long time. I just want to make this really brief because there's really a lot of information here. There's, as I see it, there's probably several things that are being used to control us. That's medicine and healing, energy, certainly, and events that are a little bit off the wall, like this unfortunate business in Japan. I want to refer just to two basic websites. I could talk for hours on this. The first one is Tom Bearden, and this has nothing to do with HARP or anything else that's been talked about. This is the real deal. It is, let me spell it for you because it's French, actually. It's CHENIERE.org, pronounced Shenny.org. Let me just go down real quick on the table of contents here. There's been a healing machine that was used and suppressed. That's on the table of contents there. It explains that. I couldn't possibly in 5 minutes or 6 minutes or whatever even explain it. There's it's there. I'm just telling people that if they want to go look at this, because we need more people to get active in looking at the real solutions here.
Well, there's a lot of people claim they got magic machines that heal people. I have sponsor opportunities all the time where they claim this, you know, Rife machines and all this. And I know that there's been some research with different wavelengths and things, but then that doesn't mean that every person that claims they have a machine, you know, that it does exactly what they're saying. I think in some cases there's some reality to it. In other cases, some of this stuff is a fraud.
Well, that's right. But this cuts away all the mysterious stuff. That's why I'm saying go read it for yourself.
Is this your website?
Pardon me?
Is it your website?
No, it's Dr. Bearden's website.
Okay, well, listen, do me a favor. Send me a link to that, and I will check it out. Sir, what else did you call in about today?
Oh, nothing else except you're doing a marvelous job. And I'm a longtime listener in shortwave, and God bless you, and stay safe.
Thank you. Let me ask you this question. What do you make of the fact that they're just coming out in the open with all this? World government, illegal surveillance, secret arrest, smart meters tracking everything in your home. I mean, a huge program with all the companies building in all the tech as a Trojan horse. It's just so monstrous.
Well, it would have been done earlier, only the technology was not off the shelf in any number of the situations in history. So the actions aren't really that surprising. It's that they're using a lot of this advanced technology. And like I said, I don't know where you want me to email that.
Well, you know what? I think I got the site. I'll look it up. But you can send stuff to showtips at InfoWars.com. More calls straight ahead. Stay with us.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
$50,000 unstoppable watts? We're talking about millions of unstoppable watts here on this syndicated transmission. Blasting out on the AM and FM dial, XM channel 166. Number one worldwide for talk radio, according to every major metric, with the downloads, audio streams, and the podcast, InfoWars.com. I'm your host, Alex Jones. And again, being number one on the internet and also very dominant and on the top 10 or so on terrestrial radio is a indicator of the power of ideas and that people are hungry for liberty and freedom and for hardcore information. I was talking to a national media figure yesterday who was totally freaked out about the fact that they were basically taken into the smoky room and told, look, you'll get all this power, even more power, but yes, you've got to stop talking about the things that you're talking about. I know it's the speech Glenn Beck got, and to his credit, he did not sell out and had to leave Fox News, but they do not like the fact that I'm on air here, and believe me, and I've talked to people in high-level intelligence groups, it has been discussed having me killed. It's been discussed killing many other media figures that don't play ball with the New World Order. But the globalists know everything's surveilled by other groups and different factions, and they can then be blackmailed with that. And it's a very dangerous game to start killing media people in the United States. It's been done before. But if someone is extremely prominent and has already put out such a huge body of work, killing them, highlights, underlines, puts 100 exclamation points, and bullhorns out that information. When you get killed is when you have absolute eyewitness accounts and proof of crimes inside the system. That's the type of thing that can sink the globalists. They would rather try to assassinate my character. I do that on my own sometimes just because I'm so real and it is unscripted. But it doesn't matter. The information is out there. And if I was to die tomorrow, God forbid, I'll never commit suicide. I know that. But if I was to die tomorrow, I've already had a big victory, and so have you. So it's, in fact, I have an example of that that we're going to show later of people putting Infowars.com on their cars. And just the power of that, all the people they're meeting, the like-minded people they're finding, people wearing Infowars.com shirts to work and finding out that other people were listeners, and it's creating community. You can do that with a Ron Paul shirt as well. It's flying your colors that you love freedom and you're awake and you know what's going on. If you go to our Facebook page and click on the photos wall, you can see it. There it is. Photos, videos, Alex Jones, a lot of the listeners. Every day I see new ones post the side of their barn, spray painted Infowars.com, or street art, or people writing on the money, or people writing on the bathroom walls. I'm not really condoning that. Or putting it on their cars. Amazing. I'm here risking my life, my treasure, my name, my family, because I want the great goal, the great jewel of freedom in our time and incredible freedom and exploration and discovery for our children to come. All right, let me go back to the calls before I get into news and then never get back to the calls. But coming up, Egyptian presidential frontrunner promises tougher line on Israel. Why would the West kick out the old dictator? I'm not saying Mubarak was good, but did everything the West wanted. And why would they put in the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda-affiliated groups? Because they're getting ready for the clash of civilizations. Why do they put the underwear bomber on the plane? Why do they train the driver, give him the bomb, the detonators, and the First World Trade Center attack? Why do they train Muhammad Atta at U.S. military bases? AP, Reuters, Newsweek. Why did they order the U.S. Embassy to let him and six others in, even though they were flagged as terrorists? They told them they're CIA agents. Their terror designation is a cover. They're double agents. They were taking parts in drills in the week before. They were just taking part in a simulation of hijacking an aircraft to see if they could penetrate. They were set up, as you do know. Operation Northwoods, 2001. We even know the name of the umbrella drill. Tripod 2, the stuff we talk about on this show has the NSA's wires burning. Not even so much listening to me, watching who in government is listening. And the system now knows, whoa, 70%+ of all donations from the military were to Ron Paul for all political candidates, Republican and Democrat. Whoa, Alex Jones's information is on fire. I mean, when I tell you that I met with a Navy SEAL that I have known through certain ways for several years, I'll leave it at that, through family. And he said, yes, SEAL Team 6 knows that their helicopter was blown up, and they know the Bin Laden thing's fake. And then I get contacted by a high-level intelligence group, and they tell me directly that a subdirector of the CIA by name says, you're right, the Bin Laden thing's fake, thank you for what you're doing. I mean, it's like Steve Pachinik, who's CFR, wrote a bunch of these movies that Harrison Ford's in, wrote many of the first books with Tom Clancy, famous guy who overthrew heads of state. You know, this guy's, you know, like the E. Howard Hunt type, but beyond that, a psychiatrist. And he's calling up saying, yeah, the 9/11's an inside job, the military's waking up, the people in intelligence appreciate what you're doing. Because the truth is, most of these people have done a lot of things that some would see as terrible, but they don't. They did it because they thought they were fighting communism. Now, as they see it becoming America, it's really waking people up. When Pachinik used to talk about how he thought Petraeus was a good guy because he worked with him. He's come out and said Petraeus should resign. He's a disgrace. for coming out and saying the CIA is spying on everybody domestically and, you know, all this police state is good. It's just, it's out in the open. America has been overrun by scum. And people throughout the system have got to gut up. Whether you're an individual, whether you're a civilian, whether you're a police officer, military, whoever you are, you're going to have to start standing up somehow. And I'm not saying first day go out and, you know, really throw it all on the line, but start doing little things. Because little things together move mountains. Because the only way out of this is standing up. The only way, I've always said this, I'm afraid of being afraid. Being afraid does not feel good. Being afraid is the mind killer, to quote Frank Herbert, the little death. I know the French say an orgasm is a little death, but for me, the little death is fear. And when you let fear pass through you and over you, then it becomes strength. It becomes strength. I love life so much that I'm willing to give mine up in defense of freedom. All right, let's go to your phone calls. Kim in Alaska, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex, I'm angry! I'm angry because it starts out when they circumcised me at birth. And then I went on and my parents got divorced at 12 years old. And the New World Order just convinced them that, you know, you had to be independent, parents had to be independent. And I went on, I had to live in government-subsidized housing. But I came out of it. I'm from Detroit. My great-grandfather in 1942... retired from Ford, and my uncle is a millwright. He was a millwright. It goes all throughout my family, and I just want to say to all those people in Michigan that you need to get up and stand up and get out there and do something. I had to do something. I had to get out of there. I had to move away. I came up to Alaska where there's oil, and I had to have two kids. And those two kids are uncircumcised, and they're non-vaccinated, and they're live, and they're vibrant, and they're healthy. And how do you like that, New World Order? That's what I got to say right now.
Well, God bless you, and I really appreciate your call and love your anger, because the anger is the beginning of getting motivated. As for circumcision, I never even thought of it as a big issue, and people are always pointing it out to me, and the more I research it, it is basically sexual mutilation at many levels. And I can understand that sometimes it does get infected. There's an argument that it's got a medical reason. It's a big debate, and it really upsets a lot of people that have been circumcised. I don't want to get into, I mean, I'm circumcised, and you know, most people in America, most Protestants at least, you know, have been circumcised. I mean, I think back around the time I was born, about 90% of people were. I've never, I guess you don't know what you've lost if you never had it. So I understand a lot of people are really upset about it and feel like something was stolen from them. And I get it. I totally get it. But again, it's like when you're born into something, you don't recognize it. And so I think the issue is a newborn can't make the decision on whether they want it or not, so they shouldn't be. You know, that's the issue. And circumcision, you know, is a way so people could tell, are you part of this group? Are you part of this tribe? And then it got, you know, adopted into Christianity. And it's just a standard thing. But I do hear what you're saying. That's the thing about when I just open the phones up, no screening the calls, just randomly taking calls. It'll go in a lot of different directions. But people say, well, what's the difference of what the Muslims do when they cut away part of the female organ? And when it's put in that context, you're like, yeah, I get it. But then I've talked to medical doctors and people, and they're like, no, we see a lot of problems with people that aren't circumcised, infections and things. But then that becomes the issue of, there's like people suing Apple right now, saying the apps are addictive for children. Well, yeah, it's rewiring their brains. Moderate use of it is causing brain damage because it's not normal. Humans were never designed for this. It's making their attention spans tiny. It's a fact. Massive studies out there. I told you about it years ago. Now it's admitted. I have the studies then, but now it's a big issue. But I'm like, why are you letting your children do this then? I mean, I go to restaurants now And most of the children have iPhones or iPads, so the parents can do what they want. And the parents are on smartphones doing it. And I've made a point that it'll be 7 o'clock at night. I'm eating dinner. One of the, you know, I've left to go eat dinner. I'll have to eat with my wife and the kids or something. Rob Duke calls up working late going, hey, what do you want to call this video part of the report? And I'm like, oh, call it this, or what do you think? Or they'll call and say, have you seen this? And they text it to me and I look at it. But I'm just making myself now turn it off, put it in my pocket, and check it in little controlled bursts because it's dominating my life as well. So again, when you're just introduced to something and slowly ease into it, like the frog in the boiling pot of water, if it's slowly turned up, you roast, you boil. And that's what's happening now. Let's go ahead and talk to Alan in California. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex. How you doing?
Good.
Alex, just want to say you are an amazing man. You woke me up probably about a year and a half ago. I actually found you through Jesse Ventura on Conspiracy Theory. I used to work in radio. I was a complete sheeple. I, you know, voted for Obama. I mean, he suckered me. I found you guys and started researching. And I remember, I'm like, yeah, that Alex Jones guy, I remember hearing him, you know, through the radio. And just looked things up, woke up my best friend, and he works at a fast food place. What he does is he actually puts your show on at night. He's a manager, so he plugs in your show at night so that his customers will listen, and he spreads the word. We started a Facebook group, if you'll allow me to kind of say that.
Well, I want you to. Yeah, what is it?
Yeah, it's a Facebook group, and it's Awake USA. We started with 7 people. We're about at 145 people. Then it's been online maybe about 5-6 months. So it's growing like crazy. What I wanted to ask you is, you actually, before you started the reporter contest, we wanted to call you and ask you if you would ever consider having kind of like a cub reporter type thing, something that you don't have to pay. Because us living here in San Diego, we have tons of military and Navy going on.
No, absolutely. Look, I'm trying to grow my operation to where I have the managers who can then go through affiliate reporters. Because for liability and stuff, you can be infiltrated with a fake reporter who then gets some cred just to get close to you, and then they make up lies to create a COINTELPRO deal. We see that a lot. But if people are just affiliates, and then we plug the name of their site or their Facebook, you know, like your name, Awake USA, like, here's Alan, whatever your last name is, Awake USA, reporting for Infowars.com, and then it's courtesy. We can have reporters all over the country, but more importantly, because my doors are being beaten down with this, and it's what people want, and it's true. We need Australian affiliates, England, Germany, Russia, Mexico. We want, it gets harder when you get into other languages, though, because, again, we don't have the interpreters or people to check it all. I mean, we do, but then they're all busy, and we have folks that do speak Spanish. A lot of folks know how to read it. It's just that it gets harder with language interface, obviously. But that's a whole plan we've got. We need a few more reporters here so we can send them places every week and have them reporting, a male and female reporter. And we may even hire more. It's how much capital we can bring in through sponsors, through things like that. But then, yes, we can have affiliate reporters who are from their organization reporting for Infowars.com, and then they get the consideration of the truth getting out, but also their website plugged, and then attention on Infowars.com. That is our plan. That is where we're going.
I'll do that for you, Alex, because we have a lot of stuff. Like I said, for example, we were here, being here in San Diego, have a friend who likes airplanes, and the Tijuana airport is right next to the border. We went over there to watch it, and we had, I'm not kidding you, 4 DHS Border Patrol cars come right up to us, and they were asking, what are we doing? Are we waiting for drugs to be thrown over? And I wasn't awake when this happened, or else I would have, you know, I would have said something. I was like, no, what are you guys, are you kidding me? Can we look through your car, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, are we doing something wrong? You know, they were just like all over us. It's like, this is something I wish I would have had my iPhone out, and I would have sent this right away. It's like, they're just all over you for no reason.
Yeah,
you know?
The way to handle it is the minute they pull up, just say, hey, guys, we're just citizen reporters out here doing a border story. And when they start asking for stuff, just say, come on, man. You know, use your brain. We're not drug dealers. And if they start getting more, just say, don't violate my rights. You wouldn't want yours violated. They say, hey, let us look in your car. Say, can I look in yours? Because statistically, the Border Patrol has been caught bringing in a lot of drugs. So statistically, not saying you're bad individually, statistically, The MO, if I profile you, is that you're a drug dealer. That's what I say to Border Patrol 100 miles in when they want to search my car. I say, no, you can't. You want to make a big scene? Go ahead. By the way, I know your boss is shipping narcotics. And usually at that point, they smile and go, get on out of here. And I'm like, yeah. Because let me tell you, I got to say about half the Border Patrol from the intel I've got who's in management is taking money. I mean, you look at New York narcotics police. Serpico said it was about 100%. A few years after he left, they fired 76% of their narcotics detectives. I mean, so it's just amazing. So, hey, don't wait for orders from headquarters. We're having a contest where you win $5,000 a piece, a man and woman, or two different groups. But you could do the report now and enter it. And then if you don't want to come work here, that's fine. The contest is for the money and then to be looked at in the running. And boy, we're getting some good ones coming in. It's amazing. We'll be right back with more phone calls straight ahead. I'll continue with some of your calls in this segment and then the next little short one. Then we're going to have our investigative reporters. Our investigative reporters on with us documenting the false flag terror attack that was the Oklahoma City bombing 17 years ago today. Headlines at Infowars.com. Rights group demands investigation into illegal Google wiretapping. The Justice Department's closed down their fake investigation of their Street View system. That's all. Google is the government, folks. Continuing, Queen Beatrix's brother-in-law calls for mandatory birth control for the unfit. More eugenics from the environmental group leader, World Wildlife Fund crew. Red alert, draconian CISPA bill picking up sponsors ahead of votes next week. Rand Paul leaves door open for VP slot. That's pretty big breaking news. It had only been secondhand statements by Jesse Benton and people who heads up his dad's campaign, but he's just leaving the door open. I want to get your take on that. Senator Rand Paul says he's concerned Interpol could arrest Americans under foreign laws. That's the big issue. It's people are like, well, Interpol already arrests people. Yeah, when there's an agreement with the country that Interpol's working for in Europe, that's when that happens. Like, oh, yeah, we have extradition agreements with you for murder and things. This is just, you're under European law. We're coming to arrest you for your speech or whatever. Your car is set to become part of the Internet of Things. It's all part of that Google Panopticon spy system. It's all up at Infowars.com. And briefly, I've done a lot of research. People can debate this all day. Reverse osmosis is great. Water distillation is great. All of that's wonderful. But it cuts out many of the good minerals. So I cook with reverse osmosis. I've got distillation systems if I need it. But I just do a mix. I drink my well water. I drink my rainwater. But when I'm on the road, I've got a Pro Pure road filter in my house. I drink a lot of filtered water because with a system like Pro Pure that we have discounted at Infowars.com, 10% off when you put product code water in, it's a gravity-fed filter, and it reduces many things to non-detectable levels. It's got special fluoride filters that reduces it almost down to nothing. You can put swamp water in this and drink it. The point is that it's just the latest development and the best one I've used. There's a lot of other good ones out there, but it's just heads above the rest. Look at the side-by-side comparison at Infowars.com. Click on the shopping cart link. Go to the water filter section. They also have shower filter systems, the best we found out there for the price, that reduce everything. Doesn't cut it all out. Some things are so small, but it reduces it. And a lot of the poison you're getting is through the biggest organ in your body, the skin. You're also breathing it through your lungs. So the shower filter is essential. I live in the country now and have rainwater. But still, I like to filter it because there's stuff in the rain now. There's so many toxins out there. So again, go look at the side-by-side comparisons of the leading competitor at Infowars.com with the Pro Pure. Also, don't forget InfoWarsTeam.com. You can get big discounts and free shipping when you sign up and sign up for AutoShip to get the Beyond Tangy Tangerine, the Rebound, the Cell Shield CTQ. I've lost 40-plus pounds. You know, when I'm sitting down, it kind of, because I've got a long torso, kind of squashes it, so it looks like I have somewhat of a belly. I'm actually, when I'm standing up and got my shirt off, the beginnings of the six-pack are popping. And soon, I'm going to, I just haven't gotten around to it, I'm going to take my shelf 4 months ago, 40 plus pounds heavier, side by side my face, just on the TV and radio, and show it to you. And I'm also, I got some photos my wife took when I was walking around the house in my shorts before this with just giant plubs of fat. Wasn't that fat, but, you know, had some love handles. And I'm going to take photos in my shorts and show you this. It's amazing. I mean, the guns are back, everything. You know, and I'm not even lifting weights, by the way, because I don't want to get bigger. But my muscles, everything, all I'm doing is some jogging and swimming. And it's amazing. Because, by the way, folks, it's all pure muscle right there. People are like, man, he's got some big man breasts. No, folks. No, that's muscle, ladies and gentlemen. That's King Kong level right there. Check it out, Beyond Tangy Tangerine, InfoWarsTeam.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Gus and Lolly, I'm going to at least get to your two calls right now, and everybody else can hold if you'd like, because I've got guests coming up with breaking news on Oklahoma City and key testimony by a star witness of the inside job attack. That's all coming up. Then the third hour, news blitz. Your phone calls continue here today. Got the big news-making Rand Paul interview, the video of that up at InfoWars.com right now. Right now, let's go to Gus in California. You're on the air, Gus.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
Good, buddy.
My daughter spends some weekends with your friend Dave in Tampa.
Cool. So she's friends with the Mustangs?
Yeah. They go to school together. I'm a long-time listener, and I'm calling, and I finally got through. And, you know, it's very depressing seeing what we're seeing, because it's like there's no way around this, you know.
Yeah, well, you know what would happen if citizens started picking out cameras and deciding they disappear? They'd remove them. People started attacking all the cameras in Arizona. They're pulling them out. I'm not saying do that. But yes, it's overwhelming because the globalists are just doing whatever they want. They don't care. They're just exercising power against us. We're going to have to start exercising power. You start looking for opportunities to peacefully sabotage the globalist. Let's say you live next door to an elitist, or you're serving an elitist dinner and you hear them talking about criminal stuff. Just put it out there. Start getting aggressive. There's ways. Look, it's like Fight Club. Wherever Tyler Durden goes, people are like, hey, I get it. Most people aren't prominent in a fight for liberty, so they don't know how many other people are awake. I am prominent. I do know. I mean, it's ridiculous now. I can go to a restaurant in another city or another country, and half the people come over to me, and I can barely buy myself dinner, and everybody's winking and saying, we know what's going on, or I see Austin cops, and they stop and go, we're awake. You know, riding their bicycles downtown. I'm like, okay, you're awake. Do something. See, people are awake. They're just not doing something. Or they see the other half who isn't awake, Gus, and they think, well, nobody cares. I mean, what do you think?
I think it's very depressing because nobody's doing anything. When I watched this lady yesterday, you know, go ahead and tell the truth, and she goes out and she says, I told the people in the building, and they go, well, my government wouldn't do that. Well, what's wrong with humanity? You know, I think they have reverse Munchausen by proxy or something like that.
No, I agree with you. They want to be abused by the government, but it's Stockholm syndrome, really, where about a 40% on average of people, depends on the nation, state, and the group, and their history. But around 40%, if they get kidnapped, will start worshiping the kidnappers and join them and fight for the kidnappers. Because people decide to rationalize and just be part of it. No, you're right. We have massive Stockholm syndrome.
It's ridiculous. I mean, they kill the president. They kill his son. They like, I'm listening, Sonny Bono. All this time, I honestly thought, you know, and I'm one of those conspiracy nuts, they call me, you know. Like, there's no way you're going to convince me there were any terrorists on 9/11, because there's no way an aluminum airplane could go through a building. Just go watch the footage of that military jet that fell in San Diego a couple of weeks ago. Okay, fell into a brick building, a two-story building. The building was still standing. You know, it's a joke that people think that you know, two airplanes could go through.
No, that's it. No steel building of that type had ever fallen from fire. They've had big jets hit them before. They burn for weeks sometimes. Nothing falls, but you know, little bitty supports. And before, and insurance now is having to reevaluate and charge more for big buildings. And they're saying now they can fall, even though their internal science at Underwriter Laboratory says it's impossible. I mean, pretty soon you can say you blow at a building. If they said an Easter Bunny blew on the buildings, then they would have to stop building buildings because an Easter Bunny might blow on them again. It's all fantasy land. Great points.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Holland Vanden Neuenhoff, one of the writers and producers of A Noble Lie, Oklahoma City, 1995, is our guest for the next hour or so, along with the director, James Lane. And I had James on last night with Jane Graham, one of the survivors of the globalist bombing 17 years ago today of the Alfred P. Murrah Building in Oklahoma City. And to go over the evidence of this is mind-blowing, how much of an inside job it is and how totally proven. Like, with 9-11, we know the official story is a lie. We know who had the motive. We know PNAC wrote documents that it would help to have a big terror attack to take the liberties and launch wars. 3,000 dead would be good, Dick Cheney said. September 20th, 2000, Rebuilding America's Defenses, PNAC. Look it up. They have their own website. They're proud of it. All these White House memos that are out now, three of them, from advisors saying Oklahoma City or new 9-11 is the only way you're getting reelected. You can blame your enemies with it. Gee, we sure need this. I mean, they're like saying they're doing it. That's how dumb they think we are. And it's like, even if people know it's an inside job now, self-inflicted wound has now entered the vernacular to a great extent, people still just go along with the big media event and the children and we'll get those enemies and let's show some American flags. When the terrorists are within, the enemy within is the plague. The traitor is the plague. And anger is a gift and focused indignation to take action against these people. And it begins with not being cowards. We're going to play about 8-9 minutes of the hour-long Jane Graham interview that's at prisonplanet.tv. We've also now posted it on the YouTube channel from the nightly news last night. Get it out to everyone. In fact, I forget the headline on that. I don't even think we posted that on Infowars.com. So our webmasters are so great, but there's so much news that it's like we always post everybody else's stuff. Like, look, this guy dropped a shoe on the side of the road. Let's make that the top story instead of all of our bombshells. Again, I mean, we are the best there is. Doesn't even mean we're that good, but we're still the best there is right now. If you go to Infowars.com, any of the articles, and just go to the little links at the top, you see the YouTube symbol, go to the Alex Jones channel, and it's OKC Bombing Star Witness Reveals, and let me click on the actual video to give you the full header there. In fact, we can actually zoom in on this. Oklahoma City bombing star witness reveals staged government terror attack. And it's an hour and 1 minute interview, and it goes through all of it, and it's powerful. And she's also in A Noble Lie, Oklahoma City, 1995. Jane Graham, Alex Jones, the inventor of the neutron bombs in it. General Benton K. Parton, former head of Air Force Weapons Development, multi-time engineer. It just goes on and on. Police officers like Don Browning, the FBI comes, will kill you and your wife. He was the head of the canine unit there minutes after. If you talk about what you saw, Terrence Yeager, they talked to his family. He was murdered, cop of the year. I mean, folks, this is sensationally evil. What the globalists did. The truth is so much crazier. And it's the very crew running things now at the Justice Department that were involved in the cover-up of the black op teams in FBI, CIA, defense intelligence we know is connected at certain levels. I mentioned ATF, FBI. A Noble Lie available at Infowars.com. People have died. Police officers have been brutally tortured to death for the information in this film. You understand that? And Jane Graham on the show last night talked about all the different threats. Other police officers she talked to. and where they'd go to the police chief and others, and they'd say, yeah, you better shut up or you're dead. I got some golf to play, you know. But still, the FBI and others were real sad about the blown-up children. Meanwhile. I mean, that's the even sicker part, is I had to hear on the news what heroes the feds were and how they were going to keep us safe. They're not the feds. They're the criminals. But you don't think criminals don't want the federal government that can tax tens of trillions a year and steal it and give it to themselves? That's all it is. Crooks took over. Crooks took over. Crooks took over. A noble lie, Oklahoma City. And why do I have it here next to Behind the Green Mask, Agenda 21? Also available at InfoWars.com. Because to carry out this total tyranny and the shutdown of society, literally making us all prisoners and turning America into a giant prison, it's worldwide, Agenda 21, by the way, but I'm just talking about the U.S. right now, they need to stage the terror attack to demonize those that were against the UN takeover. That's what Oklahoma was doing, was leading a states' rights movement against Agenda 21. They had resolutions against it in their state house. So they got picked for the daycare center, a little bomb shoved in it. And they had the FBI director's deputy there an hour after, blocking the fire department from going in and making sure those unexploded goodies got taken out. Cops had talked about it. Get X's for eyes. You've got the FBI head of counterterrorism there, lying, saying he wasn't. These are nice people. These are very nice people. But you're supposed to be sappy. Wrap yourself an American flag and say, I'm not going to believe it. And then salute the foreign terrorists that have hijacked our government and say, patriotism is having the troops die of DU. Patriotism is 10,000 percentage pediatric cancer rate increases. Patriotism is the honeybees dying. Patriotism is open borders. Patriotism is the Justice Department shipping guns into Mexico. Patriotism is the government taking foster children and giving them pesticides till they die. New York Daily News, no one gets in trouble. Patriotism is having the TSA grope your wife while she cries, and if you speak out, the police come and bludgeon you. That's freedom! Freedom is paying the private Federal Reserve to the IRS. Freedom is imploding markets and our factories shutting down and being shipped overseas. Freedom is lead paint! Okay. I take you now to our guest, James Lane, the director, and Holland Vanden Neuenhoff, writer-producer. Here to discuss it. You hear me ranting here, gentlemen, because it's not fun having to get on air and talk about these murderers, but it's got to be done. It's not fun putting myself in harm's way, but I'm in greater harm's way by not confronting him head on. Gentlemen, we're going to break in about 5-6 minutes. You've got the floor for now. Tell us the key points of why Oklahoma City is important and what the smoking guns are.
Thank you for having us on, Alex. I think for us, or for me personally, the biggest smoking gun was the additional ordnance that were inside the building. The official story states that the truck bomb was the sole source of destruction at the AP Murrah building in the morning of April 19th, 1995. We've got Jane Graham. You were speaking about her earlier. Her, VZ Lawton, other people that were actually in the building that survived said that the building was coming down. It was shaking. Some of them thought it was an earthquake. Said it was coming down 8 to 10 seconds before the glass blew in. The FEMA report says that the blast wave from that truck was traveling at 1,700 feet per second. That right there disproves that was the sole explosive.
And since they won't release the videotapes that would show exactly what happened in front of the Murrah building, we have to go on the science of the matter. Now, despite the 24 eyewitness accounts that place McVeigh with another person in that Ryder truck in front of the Murrah building, one can always make the argument, which they have, that somehow all these 24 witnesses were mistaken. But one cannot deny the science, and the demonstrable examples have been used to demonstrate the science. The Air Force actually conducted a simulation of the Oklahoma City bombing at Eglin Air Force Base. They set up a test structure. It was a three-story, very simple slab structure with no support columns. And they actually constructed an ANFO bomb according to how the FBI and Tim McVeigh said it had been constructed. A dozen barrels, 55-gallon barrels packed with ANFO. What they found was that each barrel acted as a separate bomb, and that most of the explosive force was canceled, and whatever remained went straight up. It did nothing to their test structure. So they actually constructed a stronger, more powerful, single 4,000-pound bomb and exploded that outside their structure to see the results. What they found was that their test structure, much less robust than the Murrah building, which had been designed with bomb resistance in mind, suffered much less damage from a more powerful bomb than what was supposedly used in Oklahoma City. So then they tested the hypothesis of explosives inside the building. So they actually put bombs inside their test structure, blew it up, and recorded the results. The final conclusion of the Wright Armament Laboratory out of Elgin Air Force Base is that there were bombs inside the building. So you have one branch of government saying that there were bombs inside the building, yet the spokesman for the government says that the ANPO in the truck bomb was the sole cause of destruction. They can't even get their story straight.
We know that ANFO was not the even in the truck, because the hallmark of an ANFO bomb, ammonium nitrate and fuel oil, is a nitric gas cloud. Taranchuk was on the scene within minutes, pulling Tom Hall out of the building and saving seven other people that day. He had no problem with respiration, neither did any of the survivors. Every time that an ANFO bomb has been exploded, the first responders are normally hospitalized from the inhalation of nitric gas. That was not there. That wasn't present at the Murrah building that day. It calls into question what was actually in the truck.
And you got the ATF there seconds after demanding people patch them up that they were on the ninth floor. You got the ATF detonating months before their own Ryder truck, testing it out. You've got McVeigh. You've got the feds running Elohim City. I mean, the list just goes on and on.
Well, the Oklahoma City story, the official story is so easy to disprove. It's one of the most, in fact, I say my position is that they would be very hard pressed to pull something off as sloppy as Oklahoma City these days because of the dissemination of information made possible by the information revolution. In 1995, the internet was still in its infancy, so we didn't see the rapid spread of information that you see these days. If they tried to pull something like Oklahoma City off these days, it would just blow up right in their face.
Well, that's another good point. They have trouble doing another 9/11 or another Oklahoma. Take the 7/7, Wheeling the crazy drugged guy, clearly drug witnesses said, Mutalib onto the plane. And then my listeners were there, happened to be lawyers and smart, said the government got him on the plane. And then it turned out the government did get him on the plane. I mean, the system doesn't like the fact that they know our people are watching everywhere now.
Exactly, Alex. And that's why it is important to understand these false flag attacks, the details on them, because whenever you can share this information with your friends and family, you're literally saving lives. You're taking away the false flag terror tool from the toolbox of these people that use this to further their own geopolitical ends.
Gosh, go ahead. Tell us what's coming up when we come back.
Well, we were at a street action today at the Oakland City Bombing Memorial, passing out 500 copies of the movie. We can tell you about that after the break.
Good. And then coming up, Jane Graham excerpts of her powerful bombshell interview with James Lane and myself last night. It's all coming up. We're in the face of murdering terrorists. Will you join us with pride, honor, and courage, or will you bow to them? All right, we went to break, and the writer and producer of A Noble Lie, Holland Vanden Neuenhoff, was telling us about a street action they had at the site of the globalist stage Reichstag event in Oklahoma City, at the site of the false flag, self-inflicted, staged wound to demonize the American people and bring in the police state we're now witnessing with highway checkpoints and TSA secret police now on the streets of Houston and other cities. Tell us about the street action.
Yes, we've long promised ourselves that one day we would pass out copies of the movie at the memorial on the anniversary, because every year at the anniversary, at the memorial, they celebrate the lie and they try to remember the lives of those 168 dead people with a lie, not with truth and justice in their hearts. The politicians get up there and they make their speeches and they celebrate that.
It's about the institutionalization of the lie. I mean, they pass legislation saying that the officials...
They feed vampirically each year off the children that their bosses murdered.
Exactly. So we went out there today. We are Change Oklahoma. And we set up outside both gates of time with teams on either side of the street. And we had donated 500 free copies of the movie to be passed out today. And every single person who went in there and went out got a copy of A Noble Lie, a total antidote to the line of propaganda that they're being fed inside the memorial.
One thing that was really strange this year that we've never seen before, I mean, we're out there most years, was the Homeland Security presence.
It wasn't there last year. There was a Homeland Security Mobile Command Center there. They had lined up the SWAT team in front of one of the gates of time as the ceremony let out, which I think is an abomination.
Well, criminals always return to the scene of the crime. I mean, this is a part of sucking every bit of the murdered children they can.
And Dog and Pony Show, because remember, Alex, a third of this audience are cops. They're all carrying guns. No one is going to do anything there. I mean, they're on duty, off duty, but you don't need a Homeland Security SWAT
team. No, it's the feds are going to be on your streets keeping you safe when they blow your buildings up.
They even had a mobile command center, a huge thing. It probably cost $250,000. But the thing is, the Museum Memorial, they have a command center upstairs. They don't need a mobile command center on site.
Well, of course they don't need it. It's all to make us think there's a real threat. And there is one. They're the terrorist.
But we did manage to actually get a few copies to some of those folks and people that actually work at the memorial.
They were asking for it. Some of the people working there, working in the memorial, were asking about the movie and wanted copies. Head of security, actually. Maybe we should say that on air. But yeah, he got a copy. Asked for one.
Well, that's good, because they need to choose whose side they're on.
Exactly. And so, I mean, we're not just, you know, providing this information to, you know, the general public that was going in there, victims, family members, survivors, et cetera. I mean, these are the people that are actually part of the institutionalization of the lie. You know, I was at the Ground Zero last September 11th for the memorial there, and I had my We Are Change Oklahoma shirt on. I get a gentleman comes up. He's like, oh, Oklahoma. He goes, I'm from the museum there in Oklahoma City. Oh, really? What are you doing here? I'm helping set up the museum in New York City. So they're taking everything that they've learned here, moving it to New York, and you see the same thing where they're passing legislation saying the official story of 9/11 will be taught in the schools. I mean, if it's not, if people, you know, like you and us and everybody out there listening doesn't get out there and get this information out, you know, we're gonna lose because we're up against a machine, you know. But what they cannot defeat us if we are actually out there having those one-on-one conversations. Showing
that's
this
right,
type of
that's right. Know that there are millions of other patriots in low-intensity info-war conflict at point-blank range, talking and educating and giving business cards and DVDs and putting it on Access TV. We can swarm the enemy, and we will do it. Here's an example. Aaron and I noticed about 3 years ago a meme in TV that Bill Gates is a superhero trying to give kids shots. And then we noticed suddenly all over the news they were calling him a superhero, and we discovered that he's paying ABC, hundreds of newspapers, CNN, you name it. They're paying to have him as a superhero. And now they're going to have a comic book where he's a superhero to the kids. And anyone that doesn't take the vaccines is the bad guy. So, I mean, imagine the propaganda. And here's Forbes. Why Bill Gates is a hero? Because this is a terror attack, these shots. And Donald Trump is a zero. Donald Trump. And look, they talk to you like you're an idiot. Look, why Bill Gates is a hero and Donald Trump is a zero? Forbes, Matthew Herper. And my point here is, we're going to go to break and come back and talk about this and more in the next long segment, is that they're panicking. They're panicking that people have got the Bill and Melinda Gates documents, the Rockefeller documents, where they talk about sterilizing through the vaccines. They're panicking that they're learning Bill and Melinda Gates are giving people real polio in the shots as a cover story. They're panicking, and it's coming out that even Donald Trump is saying the shots are hurting people and we need to stop it. They are panicking because they've almost got us where they want us, where, you know, 1 in 50-something kids have it instead of 1 in 25,000, and they want to get those kids. And they don't want it. We're at the tipping point of saving those kids, and they're very upset as the vampire pigs they are. So we're going to come right back on the other side. I mean, these ghoul demons, no, we've got them. And I mean, we're just like, it's like arm wrestling. We have got them. The momentum is going in our direction. And we just got to take that gift of anger and slam their fist through the floor. But there's not a question if we're going to try to defeat the New World Order. We're coming. Nothing's going to stop it. And that's the way it is. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, we've got about 8-9 minutes of an hour-plus interview I did with Jane Graham last night coming up here, and I'm going to keep our guests a little bit in the next hour and open the phones back up. I know we've got loaded phones. I'd like to go to those that are holding, but they won't be on Oklahoma City, and then get to people that are calling about Oklahoma City. But going back to you guys, James, you kick it back off with other points you think are important to make 17 years later. After Bill Clinton told USA Today he owed his re-election to the OKC bombing.
Well, an interesting thing has happened here in Oklahoma. Last year, legislation was passed that says if your family member's death was declared a suicide, you can now dispute that. And so we're hoping to leverage some of this momentum to get a new investigation into the death of Officer Terrence Yakey. I know you've spoke about this case very many times on your show, Alex, and thank you for that. Terry Yakey was a police officer that was on the scene within minutes that day, saved eight people's lives. His death was declared a suicide. He had multiple lacerations on his arms, on his neck. There was so much blood in the car that they said that you could dip it out with a ladle. And we're supposed to believe that he dragged himself because there was rope marks or whatever. There was grass in his wounds. Dragged himself a mile away and shot himself at a downward angle through the top of his head coming out his jaw with a small caliber weapon at a far enough distance that it didn't leave any powder burns. The sheriff's department is there. They look for an hour to try to find the weapon. They can't find it because it was federal property.
By the way, most pistols will leave powder burns at even 3 feet. So somebody was far away, probably 6-7 feet away, and shot him in the head.
Yeah.
And he was on his knees.
Yeah, and now, you know, he made a phone call before this happened to a friend of his. He said he was going to mini storage, and as soon as he shakes these feds that were following him, they would meet up and have a meal.
He had been followed by the FBI before. He knew exactly who was following him.
And there were two boxes of documents in the back of his car when the sheriff's department arrived. By the time it hits the impound lot, it doesn't make it into inventory. There was also an incident with
During the rescue efforts, Terry Yakey was there. A doctor showed up, Dr. Plumley. His office was down the road. As soon as he saw the mushroom cloud, he loaded up a station wagon full of medical supplies, and he sped down to the Murrah building, started rescuing people, started administering first aid and triage. He was approached by an ATF agent who asked Dr. Plumley to put a bandage on his head and his hand, although there was no injury. He was asking the doctor to put a prop on him. Dr. Plumley lost it. He was dealing with people who were dying, and he's got this ATF agent in front of him asking him to give him a costume, and he chewed out the ATF agent. Dr. Plumley later started collaborating with Terrence Yakey in their quest to find out exactly what had happened in Oklahoma City. They were both there. They both had questions. Terrence Yakey was Officer of the Year. He's getting ready to receive the Medal of Valor when he died. And after Terrence Yakey died, the FBI raided. Dr. Plumley actually later died in a plane crash under somewhat mysterious circumstances in Texas. After Terrence Yakey was murdered, which we know he was murdered, the FBI raided his bank without a search warrant, and they took out the contents of the safety deposit box that he shared with Dr. Plumley. And they did this without a warrant. I guess the bank just caved, and they didn't want to deal with the FBI. They don't want to stand up to him. I've been told by people who were involved in the investigation that Terrence Yakey had acquired a videotape from evidence, and that was what was in the safety deposit box, and the FBI took it. It's gone.
It's amazing. Can you imagine them torturing that police officer to death? These are really nice people.
He fought to death. There was, in that car where they found his blood, there was another blood type. So Terrence Yakey fought.
And, you know, we're really grateful even, you know, to his family, everybody that was involved with the documentary to try to get the story out about Terry, because, you know, I think we need.
Yeah, when he even left the house that day, he said they were after him and stuff. I mean, imagine you leave your house, they're after me, and then your dad is all suicide.
He had told his family, he knew that he was under threat. He had told his family that if they ever find him dead of a suicide, that he's going to do it like this. He knew how to do it. He was a cop. He'd responded to many suicides. He knows how the right way to kill yourself. He told them, I'm going to do it like this. If it's not like that, I didn't do it. It wasn't him. He didn't do it.
Now, in addition to that, you know, there's a lot of new information that's coming out through Jesse Trinidu. You know, his efforts have just been amazing. You know, we've spoken before about the death of his brother that really spurred his need to get to the truth of that, which, you know, led him to the Oklahoma City bombing. And I think Pat Conn is one of the more interesting aspects of of what he has uncovered. At the time of the Oklahoma City bombing, the FBI had sting operations going on where they had infiltrated supposed Patriot groups. And this was called Patriot Conspiracy, or PatCon. So they had PatCon Group 1, PatCon Group 2 all over the country. And we're not able to find any documents about it being in Elohim City, but you know, that was a white separatist compound where we know that Timothy McVeigh was operating.
And he was traveling around creating the legend so they could then set up a Patriot group with the bombing. He was going around creating that history.
I've talked to people who Tim McVeigh approached before the bombing, and they were like, who is this Fed? Because he's just talking crazy talk, talking about rising up against the government and bombing things. People who were smart and not federal informants were staying far away from him. But he had the company of a lot of other federal informants. PacCon is breaking now. J.M. Berger of IntelWire put out an article, I believe it's in Foreign Policy, and it's on PacCon. Patriot Conspiracy. And as one FBI agent said, PacCon will get you killed. They do not want this exposed because they were not only infiltrating all of these so-called militia groups, they were inciting them to crime. They were being fed weapons from military bases. Those guys weren't stealing weapons from the military. They were being fed weapons because one of the gun stores that we found out was involved with Fast and Furious just recently was involved in PacCon back in the mid-90s. It was an ATF operation. They were using the same operation. They were feeding guns to these militias to manufacture a threat to start a fight so they could crack down on them.
Now, Newsweek was going to do an article several months ago that was going to cover all of the PatCon information. The author of it called Jesse Trinidou read it word for word. It covered all the information. When it hits the newsstands, every mention of PatCon is completely removed.
We talked to that Newsweek writer. We sent him a copy of the movie. He asked for it. He liked it, but he told us he can't cover it. There's no way.
Amazing, gentlemen. Continue more with the PatCon.
Well, PatCon is breaking now. That article came out yesterday on IntelWire by J.M. Berger. He does a lot of good work. And it talks about Andy Strassmeyer, who we mentioned before, who Jane Graham goes into at length on the PrisonPlanet.tv interview. Strassmeyer was down in Texas. And we talked about in the movie the fact that Strassmeyer had to leave Texas and come to Oklahoma because he'd been followed by the Texas Light Infantry. Because Strassmeyer was down there talking about blowing things up and shooting people. And, you know, when people do that, they're either morons or they're federal informants. Either way, you need to stay away from them. So they became suspicious of him, and they started following him. And they followed him into the Fort Worth Federal Building. He went there at night, after hours, through a side door, and used a key code to get into the door. After that, Strassmeyer was told to leave Texas, and he did, wisely. And he came to Elohim City and started scaring them, telling them that they're going to be the next Waco, and started inciting them to commit some type of crime. And most of them were reluctant. And in fact, the only reason that Terry Nichols, the only convicted accomplice to Tim McVeigh, the only reason I believe that Terry Nichols is in prison as the only accomplice is that Terry Nichols was the only person working with McVeigh who was not a government informant.
Another piece of information that came out through Jesse Trinidou is that the CIA actually had a satellite pointed at Elohim City the day of the bombing. Now, back then, it took weeks of coordination to move those satellites around. Why was it pointed there that morning?
Elohim City is a community of like 100, maybe 200 in the 90s. It's not very big. There's no walls or anything. It's just a collection of housing. And why did they have a satellite from the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, an agency we had never heard of until this document came out? The CIA ordered them to point that satellite at Elohim City in eastern Oklahoma, where McVeigh had been hanging out, but yet they will not release any of that footage, of course. They cited national security reasons.
Well, it is national security for Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, that have hijacked the country to stage stuff and blame it on real Americans. It's very simple. They commit crimes to then blame us. Here is a clip from last night's Hour Plus interview with Jane Graham. She says it's the last interview she's doing, talking about threats to witnesses. Again, she worked in the Alfred P. Murrow Building, and she witnessed so much. That's in the full interview. But here is the threats to witnesses, because this is even more proof of the criminal elements at the top of the Justice Department and FBI, ATF, running this operation with foreign nationals, Operation Demonize American Patriots. That's basically what it is, and here is a clip.
A friend of mine and also another person, Debbie Nakanashi, worked for the U.S. Post Office. She was intimidated. She saw what went on outside with the bomb squad and everything. And she was told by her employer that if she spoke about it or talked about what she saw, she would be fired. I told her immediately to go to the union. She did. And then they came in, and then the boss came back, and then an attorney came back from the telephone company and said, well, Post Office, you don't have to, you're not going to lose your job. But I mean, well,
she was one of many witnesses that saw the bomb squad across the street at the courthouse prior to the bombing that morning. And when she tries to speak out about it, her job is threatened and she's told to be silent.
Yes, yes. And you know, when I went, Debbie Nakanashian and I went up to Washington several times, we tried to get the politicians in Washington, the senators and congressmen, to talk to us about the bombing. Not one person there would talk to either one of us. The only person who talked to us was the representative from Ohio. And he subpoenaed...
Traficant.
He subpoenaed the records from GSA. And when we went down there, we met... He was in the office and his assistant and talked to him about, you know, what was going on. And the assistant had told, very interesting, that FBI had called and told him they wanted, he could not open one of those boxes until they had sent people down there to redact all the information. And he said, no, he says, that's beyond your authority. I will allow one person to come down and do what they can do, and that's it. And he said that one man, and I believe it was a gentleman, came down. He was doing that. And they were, he was told, we will get you for this.
And they did. I mean, and it's they obvious. They really took him down with a scandal.
Yeah, they really did. And it wasn't like he was the only person who's created a scandal. My God, look at the felons that are in Congress right now. Don't tell me about scandals. You know, look at what's going on right now in our government. That's scandal.
Exactly.
So, I mean, he wasn't the only individual. And I'm not saying it's a Democrat or Republican. Both have the problem. But it is a real concern. Charles Key... You know, he's had his share of problems. Terrence Yakey, I met Terrence. I knew him. I knew his ex-wife. When he was having the problems, when he had reviewed his report and turned in his first report at the police department to his supervisor, he was told to take it right back, cut it down. He didn't want all that information in there. Terrence refused. He rewrote it, but he refused to do what he said. He was taking a copy of that out. He talked to his wife and told her he was concerned for his life.
He was concerned for his family too, and a lot of his efforts to protect his family.
Two children he had, and they were supposed to leave the night that he was murdered. He was supposed to come back and take them down to Texas. They were going to, I believe, get remarried.
Yeah, see, he had reconciled.
Because of the children. Yeah,
right.
With the
children. He had reconciled with his wife. Yeah. He had gotten a promotion. He was getting the key to the city.
Right.
He had everything to live for, and his death was declared a suicide. Now, the parameters around that is that he had supposedly cut his wrist in his car, cut his neck, and then, I guess, tied a rope around his neck, handcuff marks, and dragged himself a mile away into a field, and then shot himself with a small caliber weapon at a downward angle through the top of his head that came out his jaw far enough away that it didn't leave powder residue on his head. And then the sheriff's department, when they do arrive, they do a thorough search of the area. They cannot find the weapon because it was federal property. When the FBI lands, here's the weapon. They immediately go and find it. The sheriff's department had also reported that there were two boxes of documents in the back of his car. And then whenever it gets to the impound lot, it's not actually part of the inventory.
Well, also, he had left his video camera at his home. And right after that, the police department comes to her home, Terry's wife's home, and bursts in. No knock, no nothing, just barges in, goes directly, where is the camera, where is everything? She said, where's your warrant? They went in, they searched everything, took everything that they wanted, and walked out with it. And that had a lot of evidence, I'm sure, on it.
Yeah, I mean,
and he died with nothing. They left him nothing. They gave them nothing. You know, and they call this you know, that he should have had been able to have a pension and do for that. They didn't even have the courtesy to call and do those things.
And every police officer that dies in Oklahoma City gets an autopsy. Terrence Shakey did not get one. They didn't ask his family if he had ever had suicidal comments or thoughts. And when they question the suicide, they say, "Oh, you watch too much television. You're acting crazy. You need to go back home and stop worrying about it." And this is not a way to treat a hero that saved eight people's lives that day.
Well, Terry's wife said that she had a call from one of the policemen that he worked with, that he had talked to Terry the day before, and he said the feds were after him. They were following him. And he said, "I've been told that I cannot tell you that I know he was in fact murdered by them, because they've already told us if any of us talk, we're dead, our families are dead." That was not an uncommon thing, to be intimidated by everybody down the line.
Did you know Don Browning?
Yes, I knew him. Okay. Not well. And Don knew things that were going on, you know, and he talked about them. You know, he would talk with VC, you know, he would meet with people. He would talk to things, you know, talk to people about what was happening. And but they didn't want to hear it. You know, it's just like, thank God that when Carol Howe went to before the court, and her supervisor, you know, they had made her out to be a liar and she was crazy. And when her supervisor got on the stand and she said, you know, she was under oath, she said what she said was absolutely the truth. Surely more people out there have morals to stand up for what everybody in World War One and World War Two stood for. The military today, they go, you know, the military today go over there to areas where this is a political war. This isn't war against the United States. It's a political war. And they sacrifice their lives, their family life, their homes, the injuries that they sustain. They give their lives for this so that people could have freedom. And yet when they kill someone over there, they're made to come back and account for their action. It doesn't matter if you've got a bad psychological day over there. You're on your second or third tour. You can't have, you know, a breakdown and kill people. That's against law. You're coming back and going to be court-martialed, or you're going to get killed, you know, or dishonorable discharge.
All right, folks, we're going to be right back with our guest live. Stay with us. Right now, the average family spends one-fourth of their income on food. It's time to cut your food budget in half by using the best, most affordable food on the planet from eFoods Direct. The savings from eating this food will actually help you pay your other bills. Serve these delicious meals to your family tonight for a quick and easy dinner for about $1.25 a serving, compared to over $3 a serving for any other food. This food is compact, making it easy to store some away, and will be just as delicious in 25 years as the ones you cook tonight. Is it affordable? Absolutely. The new Alex Jones Family Pack saves you up to 50% compared to other food storage companies. See the comparison at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633. My friends, as crazy as this world is today, you'd be nuts to not get a storable food supply. Give eFoods Direct a call and order one of the Alex Jones Family Packs and test it out today. Start your journey of food independence today at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633.
Attention, information in this 1 minute message could save your life. Don't wait for the next emergency to happen. Act now to be prepared. Now, more than ever, civilians and communities must communicate with family, friends, and neighbors in the event of civil unrest, natural disasters, or other emergencies. That's why there's CivilDispatch.com. CivilDispatch.com is a universal system that can be used for a wide array of urgent notification alerts. Weather emergencies, civil unrest, emergency responders, amber alerts, school or business closings, any need-to-know situation. CivilDispatch.com is an emergency dispatch communication system, allowing anyone to quickly and easily send and instantaneously track emergency email and text alert notifications. CivilDispatch.com gives you the power of enterprise alerting without the enterprise cost. Don't find yourself unprepared. Learn more and become a member at CivilDispatch.com. That's CivilDispatch.com. Civilian Emergency Dispatch System. Peace through preparedness.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com.
LifeStraw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. LifeStraw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. LifeStraw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing LifeStraw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Is our guest. He's the writer and one of the producers of the amazing documentary A Noble Lie, exposing the false flag terror attack of Oklahoma City 17 years ago. Today, they picked the children well to wave them as a bloody shirt to destroy liberty in America, and they've done a really good job. Now they're getting ready to shut down free speech and start the secret arrest. And, of course, James Lane, the director, join us. The video is available at Infowars.com. Get it. Air on Access TV. Show it to your friends and family today. You should give it to every police officer you know as well, because it gets into all the cop killing in there, how much the mafia known as the federal government enjoys that. Without truth, there is no justice, it says on the back, Infowars.com. I want to do another 20 minutes with you guys in the next hour and then take phone calls. We've got the phones loaded here for you. 800-259-9231. Then we'll go to calls on other subjects after you leave us. But other tidbits as we close out this hour that you think people should be made aware of.
Well, yes, like I said, the Oklahoma City story is still developing. There's a book coming out on the 24th of this month by Roger Charles, former Marine Corps colonel in Vietnam. And actually, it's kind of funny. We call ourselves the Marine Mafia. There's so many Marines involved with the truth-seeking efforts. Don Browning, Craig Roberts, Jesse Trintignant, myself, Matthews. Anyways, Roger Charles, he's a former ABC producer. He actually produced the 2020 segment on Prior Knowledge that broadcast just a year and a half after the bombing. It proved so popular that he shot an entire hour show on Prior Knowledge and other evidence about Oklahoma City for 2020. Shot, produced, he went home to go watch it on TV, he turned it on, and they played a rerun. He called his bosses at ABC, he's like, what's going on? And they said, well, we got a series of phone calls from the Justice Department, and they talked us into dropping the show. And by the way,
that happened with Jesse Ventura's concentration camp show. Aired once, supposed to air like 50 times. It's on cable. They pulled it. And I mean, I can't talk about it because I'm sworn to, you know, secrecy here. It was serious threats. I mean, that's who runs this government.
Yeah. Roger Charles became so enraged that he quit ABC and went to work collaborating with the Oklahoma Bombing Investigation Committee, chaired by State Representative Charles Key, trying to get to the real truth of the bombing. Well, he's come out with a book with journalist Andrew Gumbel. It comes out on the 24th of this month. It's called Oklahoma City, What the Investigation Missed and Why It Still Matters. Now, Roger Charles has a lot of connections to military intelligence. He's former military intelligence, a lot of connections in the government. He knows a lot of these federal agents who are now retired. He's talking to CIA agents who are now retired. Now, they're not so afraid to talk anymore because they're not so concerned with their careers, their pensions. They already got all that. They're not on the clock. So there's going to be some bombshells in that book, including, from what I told, I can't reveal too much, but confirmation that Andy Strassmeyer was working on an international intelligence operation in the beginning to infiltrate neo-Nazis in this country. That is being confirmed, and it'll be detailed in the book coming out on the 24th.
And Strassmeyer is the thread that really ties all of these different components together. I mean, he was seen with McVeigh at the Lady Godiva's strip club up in the Tulsa area. We have Josiah Stone, an Elohim City resident, that says he saw McVeigh there at the time. That Carol Howe was saying that Andrew Strassmeyer was scouting locations in Oklahoma City to do a bombing. We know that this character is the one that was in the basement. Jane Graham has identified him as the one with the wire and the gray putty, which is exactly the way you set up C4.
And then actually when we were actually briefing Jane Graham for the show yesterday, we were going over things, and she mentioned the make of the vehicle, which was an older model station wagon with wood paneling. And I was thunderstruck. I was like, that's Andy's car. That's the car that was towed, and the State Department called the tow driver and told him to release it.
So this thing's still unraveling. I mean, we're still finding new information.
Unbelievable. And the people involved are still walking around out there. I doubt a court will ever carry out justice, but I just hope none of the people that killed those kids fall down and hit their heads. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
When the government fears the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. And I can make jokes about child killers falling down, hitting their heads. I know God's going to bring these people to justice. But by exposing these people, we're going to be able to stop their minions that were trained by them, who are now in control, to continue to be able to stage these. And I think that's the most important point we started the interview with. And before we go to calls, I just want to make that point again. Exposing false flag and the fact that we have exposed them in the court of public opinion really is beginning to take that tool away from these guys.
Absolutely. I mean, just the recent Supreme Court decision where they said they can strip search you for the most minor offense. One of the justices in their decision actually mentioned McVeigh being pulled over by, you know, after the bombing. You know, so, I mean, they still invoke the name of McVeigh. Anytime anybody has the audacity to stand up to tyranny, to expose government corruption, it's one of those McVeigh types. And this is why exposing the official story to be false about Oklahoma City, it takes that power away from them.
And it robs their loaded words of their value. I mean, they wave the bloody shirt of Oklahoma City to the state and demonize anyone who dissents against the government, who questions the constitutionality of the federal government and their actions, especially with law enforcement. And if we rob them of this and we make people aware of their false flag tool and how it works, it loses its power. Because if we figured out it's not going to work anymore, and I honestly think, truly do, that we are winning in the fact that we're discovering so fast and so hard. I mean, if they tried to pull up Oklahoma City today, I know it would blow up in their face. It was entirely too sloppy, and they can usually rely upon the mainstream media to cover their loose ends because they're not going to press too hard. But the mainstream media is not king anymore. Not at all. I mean, they're on the downhill slide, and the alternative media is rising up, and they are discovering things, they're spreading things out. If they tried something like that, it would definitely blow up in their face.
And if they kill one of us, there's 100 more that pop up in its place. That's what they really hate. Robert in Oklahoma, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, good afternoon, Alex. How are you doing?
Doing all right.
Hey, I'd like to make a personal note that I know Holland, Devin, and Neuenhoff.
Okay, great.
And the reason why I know him for is because I used to work for a security office that supplies security for to patrol the building that his office is in. And let me tell you something. We talked to about 10 minutes regarding what happened on Oklahoma City on April 19th, 1995. And let me tell you something. He is a treasure trove of information. I just want to say, buy the film, research it, and then ask questions.
What do you think of the film, A Noble Terrorist Attack Launched by Loving Liberals? I mean, a Noble Lie, the film.
I think it was a setup to see if it can be done on a larger scale, resulting in 9/11.
Yep.
And if you kill, I hate to say it, but if you kill children, you have the country backing you up.
Yep.
And that's the way it's not supposed to be.
It's real simple. Blow up a city next time, they'll be God, unless we expose the false flag. We expose the false flag, or they will blow stuff up and pose as a savior. It's a very old story.
Exactly. I'd just like to ask both those guys a question, if you may ask.
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead.
How would the federal government do this, and why? Is there some sort of personal vendetta against us as citizens, or are they have a hidden agenda that, you know, they know something that's coming up sometime in the near future that you're causing all this to happen?
Yeah, yeah. Why did Hitler blow up his own Capitol building? To take people's rights. You guys want to start answering that? I mean, why they'd want
Certainly.
To stage an attack?
Well,
Certainly. I mean, we saw all of the anti-terrorism legislation being opposed across the board in the United States. There was a enormous resistance to globalization, NAFTA, GATT, all of these operations.
Congress was saying we're not going to suspend the Fourth Amendment. We're not going to have federal police. And so the feds said, we'll just blow up a federal building.
Yep. After that, everybody just rolled over and said, take our rights.
And it inaugurated us into the new age of terror. There used to be a time in this country, Alex, where we didn't have to worry about terrorism. The younger generation doesn't even know what that's like.
Stay there. Explain that on the other side. Thank you, caller. Then we're going to go to John, Patriot, Kevin, Mark, and others. Straight ahead. It's 17 years after Bill Clinton's bombing.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Colin Vanden Neuenhoff is our guest. He is the writer and one of the producers of the amazing film, probably the only full-length professional documentary out there that truly tells the truth about the Oklahoma City bombing, that is the foundation, the root of the overthrow of our republic and a beta test for 9/11. All of it's aimed at you now. TSA all over the country on the streets. And they're like, we're here to fight crime. We're here to hear what you have to say politically. Watch what you say. We're going to ship some guns to Mexico and to Honduras and to Chicago. We're going to bring some drugs in. We're going to have the troops grow the opium. We're the good guys. You know, because of the internet alternative media now, and of course, James Lane, the director, joins us as well. Now they just are trying to hide stuff in plain view. I mean, more and more it comes out, yeah, we bring the drugs in. Yeah, we murdered a lot of our troops in tests just a few years ago. Yeah, foreign banks are setting up a world government. So there's this weird thing where they admit it to take the power of denial away, but then still separately say we're dangerous and bad for not liking it. And we were just getting into the point that well, you were making a point, Holland, right before we went to break. Do you remember what that point was?
Yes. Why? Why would they do the Oklahoma City bombing? And we can look at the mundane reasons. What we know for a fact is that Craig Roberts talks about this in the movie, that when he was retained by the FBI to investigate the bombing, he was getting calls from federal agents in Arkansas telling him that when the Clintons went to D.C. to assume the presidency, that all the files and all the documents related to Whitewater were moved to the Alfred P. Moore Federal Building in Oklahoma City. And we know that the federal government was very concerned about those documents. We have Don Browning, another police officer, talking about the fact that he was told by an FBI agent on the scene that there were documents so important to the government inside the building that until they were recovered, there would be no further rescue.
And that's why FBI director's head assistant was there right after it, magically, blocking the fire department. This is key. The globalists always do things that are win. They pick the target. They have the files transferred there because back in the old days, there were still some good people, I guess, in government. So they had to, you know, hide those from then. Then they bomb them. Then they take them out. We have the video of the file cabinets being brought out while they block saving people screaming for help.
Yeah, we have rescue workers on film saying that they think that there was a lot of people that lost their lives because of them stopping to get the documents.
Doctors were saying that, and I've talked to rescue workers who said that FBI agents were stepping over wounded people, bleeding people who needed help, stepping over a wounded person to pick up a piece of paper and keep on walking. They were literally more concerned with the paper. Now, I'm not saying that's the precise reason the bombing happened. That's one of the mundane reasons. That's one of the benefits they got. I don't think that was the precise reason. I think the deeper reason was that it did inaugurate this country into the age of terror. I mean, prior to 1995, terrorism or war was not a concern. You went about your day and you weren't concerned about being bombed. Oklahoma City started to plant that seed in people's minds.
Now you gotta have spies that grab your wife's breast and genitals because Al-Qaeda might be hiding in there.
Exactly, and the seed was planted, and when 9/11 happened, no one was surprised. It was going to happen one day because of Oklahoma City. Even prior to Oklahoma City in 1993, you have the World Trade Center bombing in New York City with an ammonium bomb and a Ryder truck and an FBI handler who was running the whole operation. That sounds kind of familiar. And that failed. They were supposed to park that truck next to the columns. They were too dumb to even do that. And so, I mean, they were really supposed to start get the ball rolling in 1993. And Oklahoma City itself was a sloppy job when people say, know, the government can never pull off something as perfect as that. People would talk. People are talking. People involved are talking. And it was a screw-up. There were bombs found inside the building that did not explode. The whole building was supposed to come down. They messed up on the cover-up left and right. They had to kill people because of that. I mean, they messed up left and right. It was a government operation. It was incompetent. But they can rely upon the mainstream media to not pursue those leads.
I mean, even to that end, the first hours after the event, you know, that's where you always get the most truthful information, where they're actually talking to people on the streets that saw what, you know, actually happened. Channel 4 was the only station that continued to investigate the truth in this case.
So the New York Times bought them out.
Exactly. Bought them out. The program director's contract isn't renewed.
She was fired. The programming director was fired. Janet Davis was let go. Her contract is not renewed. But, yeah.
Let's go to more calls. It's just incredible. The film covers it all. Available at InfoWars.com. A Noble Lie. A must see. Because this needs to be on every access station. Show it at your church. When your preacher gets up and says, worship government, say, well, okay, but what about the corrupt people in top of government? Jesus was speaking out against the bad government. Was that of the devil? Because, I mean, churches now, it's just worship, get ready to give your rights up. You know, God wants you to worship tyranny. I mean, it's all Homeland Security run. They're getting ready for some new big stage terror. They would have already staged more, but we're exposing them. Let's go ahead and take another call here. Kevin in Oregon, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going, brother?
Good.
Hey, one of the things that was proof to me right off the bat is when they came out and said that I used to work for Ford, so the way that they somehow detected this Ford van was because of the tag on the differential, and I can tell you this as fact, that tag has nothing to do with any kind of ID numbers or anything like that.
Number.
It has strictly to do with gear ratios and things like that.
It's
the same
number,
kinds of stupid small mistakes were made in 9/11, you get these reporters kind of reporting from every little location during the day of 9/11, and the lady actually points the camera down at all the trucks parked there and said, "Oh, look, the same people that did the terrific implosion in Las Vegas of the casino are here to take care of Building 7." Now I'm telling you this: it's not some.
Sir, I didn't hang up on you.
It's not some guy that drives up in with a minivan with a box of dynamite in the back of his van. You're talking about big.
Yeah. Dynamite. Let me stop you because I heard those types of things on the radio that day. Because in between watching TV and being on all the different Genesis shows, you know, I drove to get a pizza a half mile away. I've told the story and heard CBS radio back when they still had that announcing they're going to blow up Building 7, Solomon Brothers, for everyone's safety. And of course, we know Controlled Demolition, Inc., that blew up the remains of Oklahoma City building. They were involved in all that. And I heard them blow it up. And then I got home and everybody's like, yeah, they said they blew it up. But then they said, that's a conspiracy theory. You never heard that. Since then, we found a lot of the newscasts where they did say they're going to bring it down. BBC screwed up and said it's already fallen and showed it. And of course, then they go, wait, it hasn't fallen. But they go, well, go with the script. So kind of like they were announcing that they'd found Lee Harvey Oswald before he'd even been arrested. That was already being put out in the daily newspapers. Back in the day, they had papers in big cities that, you know, came out every few hours. You know, extra exclusives that would come off the presses. And so they screw up. Yeah, they screw up in the scripting. But I have not seen that footage. Are you saying, did you see it that day? Or is it online? Because a lot of people call in and we go find these bombshells that no one's paid attention to. You're saying there's footage. Because we got cops saying, get back, they're going to blow up Building 7. And then they blow it up. But are you telling me that you've got footage of them saying, oh, there's the Controlled Demolition, Inc. They're here to help with Building 7, blow it up. Are you saying you have that clip?
CNN, that they shot this, and I wish I did have the clip. I've tried to find it, but I can't because they've buried that thing so deep.
No, I know. But there's actually dozens of them, so we already have them saying similar things. And then the debunkers get in my face on the streets, and they go, you're saying the cops blew it up. And I go, no, they told the cops, who I've interviewed, by the way, the officers, who are also on the news. We've actually had a chance to run into them and find them. They told them, okay, they're going to blow it up. It was on the news. They said, for its safety. They had a countdown. They blew up Building 7. Then they didn't want that investigated, so they said, never happened. And you're supposed to just say, okay, never happened, because it's amazing the level of mind control. Holland?
Yes, the caller is right about the Ryder truck and the number on that. And that was bandied about by the media as the, you know, the FBI was so good that they tracked down this part, this vehicle identification number on the axle and have identified this Ryder truck tied to this rental agency in Kansas. But
that's like passports falling out of the sky that survive on 9/11 and are found that day.
We went and talked to Ford about this, the representative, and he chuckled. He looked at us. He said, that's a part number. That's nothing to do with identifying the truck. You cannot track the truck through a part number. And so, I mean, the first clue that they use to justify their whole arrest and tracking down a McVeigh is false. It's utterly false from the horse's mouth.
So it's just like the magic passports of 9/11.
Exactly.
And, you know, you talk about them talking about bringing the building down in 9/11. We've got probably 3 to 4 minutes, 20-plus people saying second bomb. We've got we see the bomb squad down at the Oklahoma City, at the Murrah building. We see people in the military saying that the second bomb that was disarmed the night before was even bigger.
The Air Force was stating that even the day after the bombing, their representative was stating
that. You have the governor saying they found more bombs.
Yeah, and now we're supposed to just act like that didn't exist, shut up, conspiracy theorists, right?
No, and it's on all the channels. BBC simultaneously on two channels says it's fallen on its own footprint, as it later did perfectly from small fires. And then on 9/11, they've got all these guys that are definitely operatives, baseball caps on, coming on the news within minutes of the towers falling and giving the official story of jet fuel pancaking caused the steel to melt and weaken, and so it fell into its own footprint. Cut to the next channel. Another guy, just scripting. Boom, you've got the terrorist right there.
It is a script. Like with Oklahoma City, the day of the bombing, that afternoon, the ATF is announcing that it was a car bomb with 1,200 pounds of explosives. It's like, where did you come up with that number, man? I mean, how would you even hazard a guess as to how many pounds the bomb weighed? You don't even know what it is. Turns out later that the ATF was keeping 1,200 pounds, according to a rescue worker. He actually told the rescue worker that they were keeping 1,200 pounds of C4 in their illegal armory in the Murrah building. They were hoping it would blow up. It didn't, because the other bombs didn't go off, so they had to pull it out. But they actually got the number for the script, 1,200 pounds, from the amount of C4 they were keeping in their own armory illegally.
Well, they were keeping the stuff there that they used the extra to blow it up.
Yeah. And they say that it doesn't exist, and we've got footage in the documentary, A Noble Lie, showing them actually removing the C4 and weapons.
And you got Jane Graham sees these guys in there, you know, whistling, putting the gray sticks of butter with the wires. These people make me sick. Let's take more calls on the other side. I hope that answers your question, Kevin. Great points you brought up. Patriot, you're up next. And others, Sarah, John, Mark, stay with us. We'll be back. Got Bill Gates news coming up.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down.
By the way, John Bowne, one of our reporters,
when the man comes,
who also down, runs the show in there part of the time, the radio show /TV. We'll just talk to you during the next segment when our guests are gone. I said, man, you look bummed out. And he said, yeah, you know, he lives in a whole other part of Austin, pretty far away from here. And he said, a silver Fed car with super dark windows with antennas all over it followed him all the way from his house to our office today and then drove off. And I was like, well, why don't you have a camera? And he usually does. And, you know, with me, I would just immediately pull over. I mean, up at Bilderberg, they'd follow us and I'd start following them and they'd start running. And then we'd have these Marines in plain clothes flipping us off. Anybody that serves this system and gets off on this, trying to intimidate people around here, you do not intimidate us. You only validate everything we're doing and make us get up with a bigger spring in our step in the morning. It's so ridiculous and cowardly. Just do what you're going to do. Come on. Join pure evil. Sign on with the devil. Strike me down. Do whatever. I'll never be cowards like you. I'll never be attracted to evil. This big report, comic book hero, crafting the image of genocidalist Bill Gates as a lifesaver. That's an article up at Infowars.com. You know, his wife came out in Germany and said, those of you saying that we're trying to reduce population, you're going to cause the loss of life. That's like a double threat. Like, we don't know we're in danger. Like, we don't know. Look, get it through your head. We know. People that get jobs here are told up front, you're signing on to something real that can get you killed or set up or whatever. So that takes their fun away, though. See, we're not cowards like you who go and join the dark side thinking it'll give you all this power. We're not idiots like you. We're not trash like you. We're not cowards like you. So understand, we know you're murderers. We know you're shipping drugs in and little kids out. We know, okay? We know. You're like, hey, we're evil. Hey, better watch talking about. Oh, no, we know. We know. We know. Don't you understand? We know. We know. We know you'll blow up daycare centers. We know. We know. You understand? We know what's going to happen. We know. You understand? We know. You just can't get to your head. We're not cowards like you. We know. We know. Going back to our guest, do you guys ever get threats? What type of stuff's happened to you making this film?
Well, I mean, nothing majorly overt. I think no one thought we'd get the movie done, so we weren't seen as a threat. There have been attempts in the past to infiltrate our efforts, and they've been foiled rather easily. But the making of the movie itself, I mean, doing that, I mean, we weren't dealing with overt threats, but I mean, there was a couple times we risked our lives, just interviewing some of these neo-Nazi suspects going out to the desert to Utah or the wilds of eastern Oklahoma. You don't know who you're going to run into, and some of these guys were involved with the bombing, even if they were federal informants or not, and they definitely have something to hide. So, I mean, but we felt compelled to do what we could to get the story out there. And we're from Oklahoma, we're Okies, and we filmed in Oklahoma, shot in Oklahoma, and we knew the story had to be told. Many of these people, survivors, victims, family members, have become friends of ours. And their story needed to be told because it's being ignored by the mainstream media. Like our director of photography, Devin Winter, he had interviewed some of our subjects already 3 or 4 times for History Channel, for Nat Geo, for other mainstream video channels or TV channels. And they told the same story each time. But with us, we didn't take everything that went contrary to the official story and leave it on the cutting room floor. We actually... That was the purpose of the interview, to show what was contrary to the official story. And they have never changed their story. The feds changed their story left and right. There's not even one official story for the Oklahoma City bombing. There's like 9 or 6 different plausible
excuses. And I want to be clear, these aren't even feds. These are criminals that have taken the federal government over.
Yeah, I mean, we've reached a period of history, I think, that's called the criminalization of the state, where criminals basically have achieved positions of power, and they point the guns of the state at their enemies, at their political enemies, and they call them criminals. We have reached that stage, and we have to deal with as much as we can. We have to realize that, not have false hope, deal with the system when we can.
Hey, but you're a Marine. Doesn't it feel good to actually be fighting for America now against the real enemy? I mean, this is a real war.
Yeah, I mean... I joined the Marine Corps out of an instinct to protect my family and my land, and for a craving for a rite of passage and to seek adventure. I had a lot of testosterone. I didn't want a job. So I joined the Marine Corps, plus it was a family tradition. And I quickly saw that there were things in there I didn't like. I mean, when I took the oath in the beginning at the MEP station to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, I was the only one in the room yelling that part of the oath. I took it seriously. I did my 4 years. I realized I can't work for Uncle Sam anymore, and I got out. And I consider this a more noble fight than what I was doing in there.
This is the fight. This is the battle for the Republic. All of you resisting tyranny are in the footsteps of the founders. Calls coming up. Stay with us.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
We're going back to our guest, but you know, here's John Baum. He's done reports for us. Board Ops produces, does a great job because everybody's cross-trained here. Has worked for local TV stations, had his own radio show in the past, journalist. Your dad's a Peabody journalist, won one of the biggest awards you can get, so a long family of a journalist. And, you know, no criminal record, really nice family, know your wife, know your children and things. You got a nice little 15-mile turn after turn, little fed behind you with all the antennas and stuff right up on your butt today after you left your house. Again, purely to try to mess with your mind. Move to North Korea, you un-American trash. You're mad we're talking about your narcotics trafficking? You're mad about your Fast and Furious? I mean, just don't they get everybody that works here already knows this? I mean, it doesn't intimidate you, does it?
No, actually, I was conversing with them, hoping they could hear me in my car about 10 miles, 10 miles down.
Yeah, because they do without warrants put sound bugs and GPS, yeah. Yeah,
so I started telling them that I hope you realize I'm on official business and you're not. You know, you're on criminal business and you guys need to just move on. I'm assuming guys, because you couldn't see anything because the windows were
shut. You know, we actually have this. We have a bunch of raw footage because it just goes on and on. But an Obama deception, they would follow us out of the hotel. We'd make all these like 10 turns.
Yeah.
And then we start chasing them. And then they would run and run into a bathroom. And it was always a military guy, 40 years old, shaved head, you know, in a suit or whatever. And I mean, it's just like, man, it's not scary. Okay, we understand. Did a great job at Oklahoma City. Blowing up kids is really cool.
Yeah, and at that level, what are you thinking? You know, you're an American citizen. I'm an American citizen. You've got a little badge and a uniform. You're the bad guy. You got assigned this detail today, and you're the enemy. You're the bad guy, not me. I'm just doing my job. I'm expressing the amendments of the Constitution.
That's right.
Of rights. That's all I'm doing. I'm doing you a favor.
They don't care. They shoot their kids up with every shot there is. They love it, man. Are you kidding, these guys?
Totally brainwashed.
I mean, because it'd be one thing if they thought you were doing something and were surveilling you or whatever, following you like this. And you said you were not driving recklessly, but you were cutting in front of cars, seeing they were just right on you, yeah. Man.
Yep.
And they had all the antennas, everything.
Yeah, that was a pretty serious-looking car. I wouldn't even say it was APD. I mean, it was silver with all the antennas. Windows tinted to the point of being illegal. You know, that's another thing I was talking to them about.
Well, they're above the law.
Yeah.
Like Congress, insider trades.
Well, you know, they say above the law. To them, there is no law. You know?
Well, there's only the law. Imagine cowards that are criminals that go join to be in the system because they think they're winning.
Yeah. Let's join this club and take this country down. Why don't they just openly get together and talk about doing
it? Well, they are now. They actually do say they're getting rid of America and freedom.
Yeah, yeah, they could have, you know, instead of the policeman's ball or the Fed ball, they could once a year, you know, let's have a take the United States down party.
And have a giant pinata that's America, just beat it.
Yeah, yeah. And they could have their kids shot up with vaccines to try to hit it, but they can't.
Well, Mike Adams has got the documents now where the doctors are telling people, now get ready for a convulsion, but don't come to the hospital when you have this convulsion. That's just the brain damaging process.
Sure.
Yep. It's very nice.
Oh, it's exceptional. It's a loving reality.
But see, this isn't Germany or Russia. We have the Second Amendment. We had the First Amendment history. People are fighting it. We're not just, oh, you're scary, black uniforms. Oh, don't get me.
Yeah, I was actually having a thought when I started to realize they were following me. I was having this thought about the Federal Reserve. And I was thinking about the metaphor of the Federal Reserve actually being a ticket counter that they've created, and your money is nothing but a ticket to their reality, and they can print up as many tickets as they want. And then I look, you know, hey, these guys are following.
So right when you pull out of your street, boom, they're on you.
Boom, they're
on. And then we're not going to see where you live, but I mean, it's like 15, 20 turns.
Yeah.
I mean, they're here. They follow you 15 miles.
Sure. I mean, you know.
And then you get to the office and they turn off.
Yep.
Just wanting you to know.
Yeah. Just trying to intimidate me.
You know what's great about my wife? They call him and go, we're going to cut your head off. And they go, I see the little dog in the back. Yeah, I'm watching you right now. And she's like, you cowardly piece of crap. I got a shotgun right here. You come in. The fact that it only gets her more excited. You know, she doesn't care. She's not a coward like you.
Yeah.
Piece of trash.
Well, they're sweating bullets.
Or calling up and going, oh, your dad's in the hospital. We love it. I was just listening to you talk to your husband. I mean, that's who these people are. Yeah. The idiot public has not been involved in this. They don't know. They don't understand. They're going to understand.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to understand, folks, because they're coming. I mean, it's going to get bad.
It's becoming a larger and larger reality, definitely. But it's our reality, and that's just a little reminder. But I'm not afraid of you. I've already died twice, and I got nothing to lose except this country and my family's security and future, so whatever. Go ahead and follow me all you want.
But it's not even about that. It's that commitment to defeating evil. It isn't, I mean, with me, it's like, I love my family more than anything, but if something happens to them, that's just the way it is. It's just like, I'm all in, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, just don't you get it? We're the opposite of you. We're the opposite. I mean, imagine the Secret Service. They already had the hookers pre-purchased. I mean, I just can't imagine. If I went to some place and had time off, I'd want to go see the sites or ancient archaeological digs, or I'd want to go see some mountain lake or something, or an active volcano. You know, that's all down there. Instead, they want to... That's like wanting to go lick toilet bowls or something to be with a bunch of hookers that like 20 people a day are having sex with. That's what the Secret Service is. But they're not even corrupt compared to their bosses that like to shotgun kids in the head for fun.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's what we're run by these people.
Well, in the Secret Service, we like to think they're squeaky clean, but you go back to JFK, you know, they're hooking JFK up and who knows.
It's all complete farce. That's the thing about evil people, though. They're all dysfunctional, malfunctioning idiots.
This is true.
I mean, I was reading where the feds, most of them don't even pay taxes. It's just, I mean, they're just a wall to wall. Look at Nancy Pelosi. Look at Obama. These are sacks of crud. I mean, I remember Jay Rockefeller when Luke Radowski's following him in the halls of the Senate going, yeah, your family funded the Nazis. They funded eugenics. And he looks at him and he goes, you got a lot of, you know what, it's ought to give you a job. Yeah. But that was the only, he actually looked at him with respect because this is a killer. You know, he's walking around like 6'6", and he just looks over to Luke. He's like, he goes, I got one that could see. It's like Sauron's eye. I had to give you a job. What one that actually knows what I am? The dragon's like, you know, it's just like, you know.
Yeah, it's, well, and the thing is they're under the impression from the 50s and the 40s and before that that people are unaware. I think they've still got a block in their minds that there aren't 20 million people week in, week out listening to this that are completely...
Well, it's like 15 million a week with us, but with other stuff, it's like hundreds of millions. I mean,
yeah.
What do you, people are buying 5 million guns a month to play tiddlywinks with them? No, they say, I don't trust the government.
No. Well, I just want to remind everybody to impeach Obama.
Yeah, we do. And then they're like, well, what? The others were corrupt. Yeah, we tried to impeach them.
No, we're in bad shape. If we don't impeach Obama right now, This needs to happen.
Yeah, you know these crooks are scared. We're on air talking about them.
Sure. They're driving around in their fancy cars that we paid for.
Trying to intimidate you because they think you're like them, John.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, we'll get you one day strapped down torturing a Jones. We'll break you. So what? You break me. I've already fired all my weapons in the info war at you. Don't you get it? I win. I've won. I declare victory. Want to declare victory, John?
Do you want some kind of battle cry or?
No, I mean, we're declaring victory over the New World Order. We declare victory in the name of Jesus Christ over the devil and all his servants.
Then I declare victory over the New World Order and the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. And I want you folks to know that you've lost.
That's right.
You've lost. You lost. You're losing. You're overreaching. You're getting desperate. You've lost.
And just like the Alamo, some of us won't make it through this, but it'll be the spark for the big event. That's what this is all about. Okay, guys, I've been ranting. I want to go to calls. Thank you, John. Hearing John tell that story right there, because I could tell he was angry all morning, and I was asking what's wrong. He told me the story. What do you make of that? I mean, that's nothing compared to me being physically attacked, the death threats, all of it. But, I mean, it just shows they're testing John to see if they can really terrorize him and his family.
It's about intimidation. You know, we've had Chris Emery has been followed. A private investigator that was working on the Terrence Yakey story was followed, and he actually managed to get the license plate number. There was an associate of ours that actually ran that and said it came back as non-existent. He said that's typically only a government vehicle.
That happens out of a lot of the vehicles that come in and out of the memorial. There's also an intelligence unit being run out of the memorial downtown in Oklahoma City, the Memorial Institute for the Prevention of Terrorism. And we've had people run plates on those cars, and they're not existing either. So, I mean, there's a lot of spooks in this town, and they've tried to intimidate us. But, frankly, you better watch out if you try something like that on me, because...
Right, and the thing is, I mean...
I don't back down, and try it.
Well, you don't want to end up like Terrence Yakey. That's a lesson to everybody. He figured it out and started fighting, but, you know, that's the thing about the feds the feds need to get this. When they start secretly arresting and killing people, folks aren't just going to start going with somebody when they get pulled over. And police and others need to understand that. This is going to cause a fight you can't win. You need to join the American people right now. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Terence Yakey was probably killed because he was keeping his mouth shut. It's what Jesse Trentadue told us. You never keep a secret. You always get it out there as soon as possible. That way they have no reason to kill you. It's already out there.
That's why we announced the documentary when we came to do the interview with you, Alex. That was the first interview that we shot for the documentary, and we came out on your show saying that we are doing the documentary. That way everybody knows there's no question about it. And at best, all they can try to do, I think at that point, is to intimidate you, because we have too large of a network of activists that know what's going on.
Well, that's what Jim Garrison said. Jim Garrison said, you've got to be public.
Yes.
And they did the same stuff, calling up his kids and his wife and women saying he was cheating on them. It's a standard playbook. And that's when you know, just like my grandpa, you know, flying around in a B-17, when you go over the enemy, that's when you get the flak. That is a good sign.
And that's where we don't stand, or we don't cave to the intimidation. You know, I ask myself every day, what can I do today to expand or preserve individual liberty? As long as I'm doing that, then I'm staying focused.
And there's a lot of blowback when they do stuff like this. They regret to this day killing Kenny Trentadue.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, Jesse has pursued them in court and rubbed the FBI's nose in their own waste ever since with their own poor excuses. They regret, and they will rue to their dying day that they decided to kill Kenny Trentadue because of Jesse. So, I mean, they may kill some of us, but believe me, we're coming back. And we learned from Terry Yakey, you're not doing that again. You're not getting away with that again.
Well, well said, gentlemen. Well said there. It's just, you know, and most of these idiots, they're trying to intimidate people. I mean, the order goes out, try to intimidate people. It's probably the local Austin FBI. They're mad that through an intermediary, they told me to be nice. And I wasn't even talking about the FBI, so now I talk about them every day. I mean, I just don't get what world do they want their children growing up in a country like this is what I want to know.
Yeah, they're power hungry. I mean, that's they're complete obsessed with their own ego and power.
That's what strikes me. Is like, I want to ask him, like, what do you think you're doing? Do you honestly think you're on the good side? I mean, look at what you're doing. These are citizens who are making inquiries and then going on the internet and writing articles and whatever. I mean, they're not criminals. Why? I mean, where are you coming from with this? I mean, I really want to know the answer to that.
Well, they're criminals, or they've gotten hyped up in the process to joining it. And ask yourself, look the line you've crossed, because this isn't like you go over a line and it's incremental. You go over this line, you fall into the deep end. I mean, you're falling in with some really bad people.
I mean, most people will just pretty much do what they're told, and especially in a paramilitary organization, the police or whatever, and in extraordinary circumstance, you kind of just do what you're told and keep your mouth shut. But I mean, under circumstances like this, when you're being told, ordered to intimidate and follow people who are not criminals, not engaging in criminal activity, and, you know, advisedly, they're telling people not to be criminals. So you're actively violating your oath, you're actively violating the Constitution, you're actively violating the integrity that the people expect you to uphold as a police officer, as a law enforcement officer. Because I'm not against police officers. I mean,
you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go over to the FBI garage. It might have been ATF or somebody else, but I know the ATF's up in North Austin. I know the FBI's main. I'm going to take John up to find their garage and find that vehicle, and then we're going to go and knock on the door. I think that's the answer here.
Start following them around.
Yeah, we've thought about going to the local Fusion Center here in Oklahoma City since they've named us as a domestic terrorist threat, and have a sit down with them and ask them.
Oh, that's right. You know, got put on one of the little secret lists as terrorist.
Yeah. So we want to ask them what the criteria is and what we actually. I mean, since we didn't do anything, what can we get away with now that we're already terrorists?
Yeah, I mean, what for a website that was actually for the Oklahoma Bombing Investigation Committee.
Yeah, that was a state representative. They listed them as terrorists. Yeah,
a survivor. A man who was 3 foot away from where the floor dropped off lost dozens of his friends, and they labeled him a terrorist, BZ Lawton, who's a pillar of this community.
Because they are terrorists. Look, to a terrorist, good guys are terrorists.
Yeah,
exactly. It's the criminalization.
It's like the pigs that have the demons in them or whatever, or the you know, the homeless guys that have the demons in them, and Christ is there, and they're rolling around just in the ground pleading. I mean, imagine how horrible we are to them. Go ahead.
Well, and I was going to say, the bravery of the survivors that have come out and pursued the truth in this case, we wouldn't know a fraction of what we do if it wasn't for them and their bravery. So, you know, you had Jane Graham on, you've had, you know, Hoppy, you've had all these other people that were involved, and they're all saying the same thing. They say it's time for this other generation to pick up the torch and run with this and do.
How's Hoppy doing right now? I know he's getting treatment for cancer.
He's sick.
Yeah, him and VZ and several of them, yeah, they're not doing well.
Now, they're in the film. Patriot in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Prophet, brother. I love you. I love your crew, and I just want to say Godspeed to you all, and thank you for what you guys do, man. You do something very special.
Well, but we're looking for everybody else to do something. We're doing what we need to do. I mean, this is...
Yes, I hear you. Man, I give your films out to everybody I come in contact with, not just one film at a time. I put 6 or 7 films on there, and anybody that has a like-mindedness to myself, that we share discussion, and we're on the same subject, and we feel the same way, I give your information out like candy. I give it to everybody I talk to. I give your websites out. Ron Paul, everybody needs to follow Ron Paul. And, you know, I try to spread this message as much as possible. I'm probably one of the few people in the state that actually call the representatives on a weekly basis to let them know I know what you're up to. Mr. Conway represents my district. Kay Bailey Hutchinson represents my district. And I know what they're up to. I've gone to debate Conway, and he lied to the whole public. He lied to everybody in that room. He had them filling out a questionnaire when I walked in. I was a couple minutes late. He had them filling out a questionnaire for him. And then he was asking the crowd questions, and they were answering his questions. And as soon as I saw this, I said, well, look at these sheep just lined up for the slaughter. They came, and they just lied. They lined right up to be lied to and wouldn't accept the truth. The man talked about Constitution left and right until I brought up the fact that I'd studied his voting.
No, I understand. Do you have any questions for our guests? We're taking calls in Oklahoma City.
I have a question, sir. Yes, I'm sorry I got off subject there. I knew Timothy McVeigh. Timothy McVeigh was a customer of my stepfather's gun shop in Arizona when I was just a small boy. I've been listening to you ever since you've been on the air. The gentleman talked about McVeigh being thought of as a Fed by the people he talked to because he was just so adamant about what he was preaching to people and wanted to get everybody tuned on and tuned in and turned on and tuned and turned on and in. Exactly what we're all doing right now, and I see that as not being a bad thing about the guy. I've been going back and looking at the ABC interviews with him, you know, the one clip that they will show you of the guy. You know what? That's not the same guy I knew as a kid. That's not the same guy that inspired me to join the United States Army.
Well, that is true. They do create body double. We're covering all this hardcore news, and I hear George Strait and just want to sit back.
If you leave me, I won't miss you, and I won't ever take you back.
Yeah, if you believe that, folks.
Girl, your memory won't ever haunt me. Cause I don't love you.
You know, you're only alive once. Which side are you on?
I got some oceanfront.
What do you stand for?
In Arizona.
Will you disgrace your ancestors and all they did to stand for what's right? Every freedom we've got was hard won. We're talking to this gentleman earlier who called in and said he knew McVeigh. A lot of people say that's not McVeigh, or they say it looked like he was drugged out of his mind. We know he was sheep-dipped out of the military. That's a classic black ops situation. Holland, what's your take on that?
Well, the caller, I guess, was referring to the fact that he knew McVeigh as a child and he kind of looked up to McVeigh. Well, I'm not saying that McVeigh was going around to every person he met in his life and advocating overthrowing the government, but he was, and I know this for a fact because I've talked to the people he was talking to, he was going up to known figures in the neo-Nazi and far-right movement and preaching insurrection and violence to the fact that the word got around to stay away from this Tim Tuttle guy. He was going by the name Tim Tuttle back then. And in fact, McVeigh was actually operating with other known informants. There was an ATF informant in early 1995, right before the bombing, trying to get people involved in a plot to bomb a Ryder truck with ANFO, a federal building, exact same script that played out in Oklahoma City. Let's bomb a federal building with a Ryder truck.
Yeah, they were trying forever, but yeah, they couldn't set anybody up, so they had to do it themselves.
People were saying no left and right. They wanted nothing to do with this guy. I talked to my witness, Johnny Bangeter, and we confirmed this through the Las Vegas Review-Journal. This ATF informant disappeared after the bombing, and they didn't know where he went. They knew he was an informant because he was always preaching this stuff, and he's always paying for everything. That's how they kind of know that you're an informant. You're always paying for everything, and you're always talking about committing felonies. And he disappeared. And then they get a letter from him, and it's from a jail. And it's like, hey, Johnny, I'm sorry. that I was trying to get you involved in that plot. The ATF pinched me on automatic weapons charges, and they wanted me to get you in on this bombing plot. And because I wasn't able to, I'm back in jail. But this proves that the ATF was shopping a script around with Ryder truck, federal building, and foe. And we saw it play out a couple months later in Oklahoma City.
But if you're a good patriotic American, Holland, you're supposed to just go along with the official story.
Well, it depends on your definition of a good patriotic American. And I do not think that buying a lie and obedience is the highest goal. I believe freedom and individual liberty and our rights are a higher goal to go to than just mere obedience. An animal can obey.
I like Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan kidnapping the country and destroying the Bill of Rights and Constitution. I mean, I think it's great they admit they kidnap and torture people and are surveilling everybody without warrants. I think this is wonderful. I mean, this is freedom, man. This is what's... You're an extremist, so is James there. Of course, I'm being sarcastic, folks. A noble lie available at Infowars.com. I can only do a little bit of overdrive here. We're going to go to break and go to Mark listening on KLMY 1340 AM and then Jam and John. I'll try to get to a few others. We're going out to break here in a minute, but real fast. John in Alabama, go ahead. Question?
Sir, coming to you from FEMA District 4.
Thank you.
Still there?
Yes, I am. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to thank you for having James and Holland on there. I just bought the tape from you within the hour. But the next step is we know they're not going to blow up more buildings or run airplanes into buildings. The next one's got to be a biggie. And, Alex, I think this explains why we have all the 40-millimeter ammo, the bulletproof checkpoint boxes, pill boxes, and so forth. Is that the next thing is going to be this bird flu virus.
I agree with you. They're going to release a bioweapon, and they could stay there. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Alex Jones Broadcasting Network.
All right, John in Alabama, finish your point, then I'll get their take on it. But, yeah, the bio attack is one of the perfect ways for them to come in and really take over, and they're gearing up for martial law, admittedly, lockdowns, total control, and I think that's one of the most deadly cards they've got, and they've got five or six cards in their hand, and that's their ace in the hole, and everything I'm seeing tells me that's one of the prime cards they may play. But if they don't think they can control people and have us all just go off and die in our houses like they want, they may not play it. Anything else?
Yes, sir. We know that that would terrorize every person in the nation, no matter where they lived. I live in the country, so I'm not worried about tall buildings falling on me. But that would terrorize every individual. So that would work anywhere. And they've got the technology. They may even have a vaccine antidote that the elite get or whoever. You know, and we're just that fits with the FEMA camps. You know, if you're a zombie, you might be infected with this stuff. Lock them up, you know, or shoot them. I mean, it's...
No, that's what their whole giant preparations for. God bless you. Good points. Gentlemen, quick comments on that.
Well, they definitely have to take it to the next level. I mean, WTC 93 was a very small truck bomb. Oklahoma City was larger. 9/11, of course, is what it is. So, and they have to ratchet up the consequences and the effect, because it's not going to have the same psychological value if they just pull off another truck bomb that only kills 100 people. That's not going to do anything. They've already taken it to the level. They've got to take it to the next level for the next attack.
And we look at the predictive programming that's coming out through the popular culture, and it's all biological, you know, martial law is required, some sort of nuke attack, again, martial law is required. It's always the solution is to, except for, you know, government control, troops on the streets, and the conditioning to for us to accept that.
And, you know, the emergency's so bad, we've got to arrest people that are saying the government did it, you know, because they're openly getting everybody ready for that.
Well, if they nuke a city, if they dirty nuke a city or put a nuke in a city, you'll have people screaming blood, demanding that Americans be rounded up under NDAA, under mere suspicion, and put in camps. I mean, a president who wouldn't enforce that would be chased out of office. It would be a very scary time in this country.
Yeah, no. And when that happens, it's time to spray paint everywhere the government did it. Yep. That's a black op. We can run against their black op. And by black op, that's something you do and don't, you know, talk about. But the thing is, we've got to get it out now. right now aggressively that the terrorists run the country. I'm risking my life to do this. So are you. And it's just mayday. Get it out. Mayday. Get it out. Mayday. 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 Trying to stop them from launching the next one. But if they do, hit them hard with the info. They did it. They stand to gain. They did the last stuff. They're the prime suspects. Mayday. Mayday. Mayday.
You talked about the biological and stuff. We actually looked into the Oklahoma State Department of Health, and through the administrative rules here, an unelected official can have you or your family or your children rounded up and forcibly vaccinated against your will. We were looking into I was in Camp FEMA, one of William Lewis's movies, and we actually take him to the Lucent Building out here, and the health department said that is where they will take people in a mass quarantine situation.
Exactly. It's incredible. Mark in California, real quick, KLMY listener, go ahead.
Take them, Alex. Let none of them escape. I pray for you every day, my brother. Now, look, one way we can get this out is tell the cops about a noble lie and Infowars.com. We can tell our neighbors, which I did, and by the way, if they're listening, hi. And I also told about, who knows, 50 people. I preached the gospel at different colleges, and sometimes before I start, I make announcements such as you do on your fine radio show to tune into KOMY 1340 or Infowars.com. Another thing we can do is go to city council meetings or run for city council, as I did here for District 9. And when you go to the city council meeting, you get a two-minute shot at it, folks. Take advantage of your free speech that you still have. It goes on the net, and I've been told that 7,000 watch it in San Jose. I don't know how many to San Francisco.
Exactly. Everybody hit every media venue you can get on desperately. Terrorists seize the country. Gentlemen, great job. The film available at Infowars.com. Pray for us. Pray for the survivors. Pray for all the victims of 9/11, our troops with DU poisoning. I mean, pure evil's taken over. The bottomless pit is the limit. You must resist evil. You must stand against it. Great job to the crew. More coming up. The Rand Paul interview's up at Infowars.com. I'll see you on the nightly news tonight. Joel Skousen joins us.